scratch about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All the preparations have been made. I'm awaiting your command.
So is it time?
No, not yet. Almost.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
God, I gotta warn you. This is a warning. Warning alert. There's a techno at the beginning.
What?
Never mind the techno. Wait till the song gets started. Then you'll get into it because it's a good song. I don't know why people have to stick techno in their songs. Don't like techno.
She blinded me with science.
I'll be the judge of that.
And now.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, my name is...
Do it.
What did you do?
Our feature presentation.
You know, there's nothing I hate more than the sound of little children's voices. You know mm-hmm. that. It's hell on earth. But that was really funny.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed that.
Yeah.
She's adorable.
Kids are cute, Bean. You should come around on that a little bit. I don't know, but you need to have straight hate.
No, I don't. Look, I don't hate. I don't hate children. I really okay. don't. They're essential because.
I'm not talking about scientifically.
No, I'm saying because the human race dies out in 100
right.
years.
I'm
if
not
we don't
talking
have
about biologically. I'm saying they're cute.
I'm fine with kids existing. I will allow it.
Oh, that's nice.
Ooh. I just don't need interaction with them.
Right, and they don't need interaction with you. So that's probably best.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's we're at a good balance right now.
Okay.
Which is I don't have them and they don't have me.
It's like the Grinch.
Right?
Yeah. That's true.
He used to be a lot harsher. Yeah. I hate kids.
I never but said I hated on, no, kids. That's
please.
How that's
you
how
said
you,
that for 15 years.
That's how you characterized it.
Oh,
but that's
it was
not,
just me.
No. And I every time I always say oh, no, I don't see. Hate kids. I just don't want anything to do with them.
Kids are stupid.
Well, that guy's right, too. All right, listen, we have a limited time here because that Cranberry song is too long. So here's what I'm going to ask you guys. I know the answer for Kevin, and it's Rage Against the Machine. But let me ask Jensen and Allie, who is the band that you were most broken up about when they broke up? That destroyed your heart that they broke up, and you were so sad because they were so great, and you can't believe they didn't stay together.
I have a second place one, but go ahead, Allie.
Maybe Oasis.
Oasis is at the top of a lot of people's lists. That was a tough one.
Because it's a twofer. You love their music, and then they're brothers, and they hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Oasis is a good one.
My rap answer is Third Base. Okay. It's a group from the 80s and early 90s that did Pop Goes the Weasel.
Goes the Weasel, Goes Pop?
That one. That was a tough one for me.
Okay. And but, was there, before you move on, was there a chance at some point that they might get back together, but they never did? Like they never reformed or
absolutely.
Anything?
Absolutely. They did the Bad Woodstock, and then they, like a
year. We were at the Bad Woodstock, and it was horrible.
I know. And then a couple of years ago, they did a show in Brooklyn. It was like a club show, and then there were rumors they're going to do more, and they didn't. But I've never seen them live, so that's rough for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not really a breakup, but the Nirvana one hit me the hardest that they wouldn't have any new music from that.
Yeah,
show.
Sure.
Yeah. That those are my two.
Okay. Yeah, that's legit. Well, I have there are a few in my lifetime. Led Zeppelin would be one that was devastating to me because I felt like they could have gotten another drummer, but the rest of the guys in the band, they said, it's not Led Zeppelin without John Bonham, and we're not going on. It's the four of us, and that's the magic, right? And I have to respect that decision, but that one hurt me a lot. And ABBA was another one.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA hurt me.
Okay.
Because they were so great.
Right.
Now I have a third to add to the list, you guys.
No.
And we are listening to Witch Rot right now.
I thought you were summoning a spirit.
Right? We're listening to Witch Rot right now. And I didn't know about them until about 15 minutes ago.
But now you're broken up.
And I am devastated.
Right.
Beyond words.
Yeah.
Witch Rot is a band out of Toronto. Chip, I can tell you're already loving them.
I was hoping for Hate Beak, but I'm in on this.
Yeah, this is very Hate Beak-like. This is their song on SoundCloud called Druid Smoke Part 1.
Oh.
Oh.
They They've broken up, you guys. There's no more witch rot, and I'm going to tell you why after we enjoy a little of the singing that goes along with this beautiful music. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are enjoying Witch Rot on K-Rock.
Are we enjoying it?
Yes, yes we are.
Okay.
Wait till you hear why they broke up. Here we go. This may be the last thing they ever do, you guys.
Is it because they didn't know how to mix their songs?
I mean, the production is great.
Is she in a tunnel?
What the hell?
I don't know.
She's in the same city.
We can't get the singer any louder? All right, let's break up.
By the way, on SoundCloud, they also have a Druid Smoke Part 2.
Sure.
Oh,
they have Devil's Dirt.
Oh, Devil's Dirt's my favorite.
And Crypt Reaper. Crypt Reaper.
Oh, Crypt Reaper. That was my dad's high school nickname.
By the way, Crypt Reaper is 11 minutes and 19 seconds.
Oh, the perfect amount of time.
So here's what happened to Witch Rot, and this was their fan must have taken this very hard when this was announced on Facebook.
The Witch Rot heads.
The Witch Rot heads, right. Due to the unfortunate reality of our guitarist effing my girlfriend of almost 7 years.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Witch Rot will be taking an extended hiatus. I, however, will continue the band in another space and time, being ripe with hate. The music is slowly flowing and without a doubt will become the most devastating, torturous music I have ever created.
Well, again?
Because that was sounded, way too cheery.
Right?
Right. They're going to get heavy on the next record, you guys.
Right, sure.
Thanks for the support. Stay heavy, Peter. Also, our drummer died.
Wait, what? What? P.S.?
Yes.
What?
Yes. See, but there should be more than an also leading up to that part.
That is.
Or buried the drummer.
That's the second reason why they're breaking up. You know, we might have stayed together with the drummer gone, but this thing with my girlfriend, that will not stand. Now Witch Rot is over, you guys.
It's almost like he forgot about the drummer dying until just at the end.
So he was mad.
Like, oh, by the way, also our drummer.
Witch Rot's most popular performance on YouTube is at the Bovine Sex Club in Toronto. Imagine being in a sex club and Witch Rot playing.
And it's called the Bovine.
Yeah. And Witch Rot, Peter from the band, who I assume is the leader of the band, I guess. The photo that goes along with it is apparently he has smashed his guitar into a million pieces, and it's in a sad dumpster, almost covered by snow. So he's having a rough week there at Witch Rot, and not as bad as the drummer is,
right? Sure.
But so along with Rage Against the Machine and Nirvana and Oasis, mm-hmm. we have to add Witch Rot to the list. I'm sorry to say, a great band that may never perform together again.
There's going to be a gaping hole in K-Rock's absolute almost acoustic Christmas night two.
They were going to be the surprise guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you could never say gaping hole again,
right, I would appreciate that
again,
as well.
My dad's other high school nickname.
Come on now.
What's wrong with you?
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we? Eliza Schlesinger will be here.
Oh yeah,
like she does.
Please, Eliza.
Eliza, my bad.
Yeah, hope she doesn't hear about Witch Rot when she gets up this morning.
She'll be too unhappy.
Foul mood when she gets here.
Tiny little things that make you happy, which I think Allie may have the most of.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. Yeah.
Hasan Minhaj will join us today. Very excited about that. We have Jensen found it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about this yesterday. It's DJ Khaled.
Yeah, DJ Khaled was an urban radio DJ, a local Florida DJ, and I found something beautiful. Mm,
fantastic. Mm. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas, now without Witch Rot. We've got your tickets and Bud Light backstage passes as well in the 6 o'clock hour. So listen for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
That means it's time for Allie McKay, and what's happening on this Tuesday?
I'd like to thank everyone that tagged me in the Staples Center post saying that Justin Timberlake has postponed his show at Staples Center, asking me if I had tickets, because that's how life goes.
Sure.
I have tickets to something, they inevitably cancel.
It does happen more to you than most people.
It does.
That's true.
I did not have tickets but, to tonight's show.
But did he think you did?
He might have thought I
so,
did.
So, boom, cancel.
That could be it. He is still having those vocal cord issues. He has canceled. Well, he's postponed. He's actually has all the dates for next year for the cities that he's canceled. But this whole Man of the Woods concert show, it's just show after show. Wouldn't you at some point, and I think I said this, the last round of cancellations, just say, you know what?
I'm going to take the rest of the year off.
I'm going to take the rest of the year, fix things. I'll see you out there in February.
Nope.
So. And a tour is an important part of an album's promotion. And I feel like that Man of the Woods album kind of came and went a little bit.
Big time.
Yeah. Compared to what the kind of success he usually has. So I'm sure this is really, I'm sure that's why he's working so hard to get back out there, too.
The tour is also how they make money.
That's what I was going to say. In 2018, that's the income.
Yeah, absolutely. So we don't know yet when that show will be made up, but a lot of his shows are being made up in February. So look for that. So I apologize if you're just waking up, planning your outfit for tonight for JT. He will not be performing at the Staples Center.
But they do have J.C. Chazet filling it.
They do?
Yes, he's filling the whole Staples Center.
That'd be amazing. Kevin loves the royal family.
I do.
They're normal, like things that we do, they do. Stars, they're just like us.
Everything is stupid about the royal family. Back to you.
Essentially. This comes from Us Weekly. Their royal scoop, they're saying, nothing to see here. Queen Elizabeth won't let the word pregnant be uttered in her presence. She deems the term insufferably vulgar.
Wait, what?
She won't let the word pregnant be said around her. So when she found out Kate Middleton was pregnant, that's when she made this rule. You will not.
You
will not say it.
Is it because she just found out how people get pregnant and it grosses her out?
Maybe that has something to do with
it. I mean, you love
it.
The royals, Bean. Why would she say that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. If I had to guess, I think she is just, she's super old.
Yes.
And super set in the ways of when she was coming up, where people did not talk like that. People didn't say things like that. There are a lot of euphemisms.
But like pregnant?
With child.
She's not saying sex.
So you're saying there's lots of euphemisms, Bean. Mm-hmm. What would you deem an okay euphemism? Because there is one that she would like to use instead.
It'd be funny if it's bun in the oven.
Right? Knocked up.
Yeah. With child.
With child,
that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah, nope.
That's not it.
Nope.
Ready to pop.
Nope.
I'm sure that was it.
Yeah. Fat as hell.
Jeez, what's a euphemism?
So she gave one that she would like it to be used.
According to this royal scoop, yes.
That is less offensive than pregnant.
Yes, which is insufferably vulgar, she says. It's
unbelievable.
It really
did. Did we say expecting?
No, we didn't.
No.
All right, I'll throw expecting it.
No, it is not.
How about preggers?
Preggers. Oh, she's totes prego. That is what it is. Would like it to be totes prego. No, it is not condition, which a lot of people think, she has a condition.
Oh, she has a delicate condition, they used to say, yes.
The phrase she would like to be used is, she's in a family way.
Oh, yeah. That's old school.
That's so old school.
You. That's very old school.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not defending her because...
Sounds like you're about to.
I'm not defending her. I'm not.
She's the worst.
She's not the worst. She's a lovely...
Don't say pregnant in my presence. F you.
She's a lovely lady.
I'm pregnant, pregnant, pregnant. That's what I would do.
She's a lovely lady. I'm not defending her.
Sorry, everybody was talking.
Yeah. But she should change with the times. She should recognize that it is no longer 1948, okay?
Right.
I'm just saying, but she somehow seems stuck in that sort of protocol.
Yeah.
That she was raised in, and she's just an old person who's quirky. I don't think it's a hateable quality. I just think
it's a hateable quality.
Kevin finds it pretty pregnant.
Easy. Right.
That's a hateable thing to say.
That is a hateable thing to say.
It's insufferably vulgar.
Yeah, maybe that was it. Maybe it's those two words that she's
insufferably
like. Insufferably. You know what it is? It's just biology.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
So not Totes Prego.
Not Totes Prego. But apparently she instituted the policy during Kate Middleton's first pregnancy. Okay. Which had to feel good for Kate. You know, your first baby, you're super stoked on having this life inside you.
Imagine going to visit, like, your wife's family, and right before you go to, like, Buffalo, you know, they go, listen, my mom hates... the word pregnant, thinks it's offensive. Can you not say it in front of her? We're going to say that we're, what is the word?
In a family way.
We're going to announce that we're in a family way. I'd break up with her.
Absolutely.
Divorce. Yeah.
Right? The poor kid. I mean, that's kind of sad. But
bigger sign.
Yeah, that's probably true. I thought you'd enjoy that story, Kevin.
Wow.
And anytime Kevin can yell, I'm pregnant four times in a row, I think it's
just
been
saying,
a good
if
morning.
If I was in her presence, I would yell that, as that is a ridiculous thing to say.
Agree. All right, you guys, some birthdays for you. Michael Vartan, Bill Nye, the science guy, Charlton Copley. We like him.
Props. We do.
Props for getting his name right. Thank you. And Jaleel White. Circle.
Or Stefan.
Or Stefan.
Mm-hmm. A half hour away from giving away tickets to K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light backstage passes for night two.
That's a good deal. I'm glad we're doing something for the early risers.
Correct.
Because you deserve it, people. Believe it or not, this is Christmas music related, but I did not see this.
What?
Allie sent it to me.
Mm.
There are a lot
of you that those of you that don't know Bean well, there's nothing that you can say, hey, Bean, have you heard? Oh, of course, yeah.
Yes.
I saw that 3 days ago. Nothing on any topic, let alone Christmas music.
Well, yeah. I like to say topical.
That was one of the first things I noticed working here.
Is that right?
I was like, what services is he signed up for? what
you can't thing? Surprise Bean with anything.
I like to think of it.
Christmas music is my passion, though. It's how I spend my spare time throughout the years. I work on my Christmas music playlist. I go and search the internet and look for Christmas songs I like that I can add to my playlist.
Did you ever start the podcast, Christmas music 365 days a year?
No, because, you know, it's tough to put copyrighted music on a podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, Ali sent me this list, and this is in not any particular order, but the editors and writers from the St. Louis Dispatch newspaper have put together their list of the worst Christmas songs that people love. Okay?
In other words,
these are classic. These aren't obscure Christmas songs for the most part. There are a couple that maybe not everyone's going to be familiar with, but for the most part, these are classic songs that get played on the radio that people love, but just as many people are aware people hate, too.
Now, was this before or after the new William Shatner album?
I think this was before, Jetson.
Okay.
And I take some exceptions with this list because there are songs on this list that I adore. There are also songs that they are spot on that are terrible. But the worst Christmas song of all time is 12 Days of Christmas by anyone, and that's not even on this list. And that's horrible.
That is absurd.
Mm-hmm. That's a terrible song that goes on for a billion
years. It only lasts a billion years, though, in its defense.
And it couldn't be more repetitive.
It is the row, row, row your boat of December.
Yes, exactly. So I just thought we'd play some quick clips of some of these songs and see if you would put them in terrible songs or if they're Christmas songs that you don't mind hearing.
Well, it sounds to me like this category is both. They're terrible songs that you like.
This is the editors of the St. Louis Dispatch, though. They say these are the songs they hate. Each
one. Okay.
All the reporters and editors nominated a song that they hate.
Even Jim.
Jim especially.
Jim hates everything.
Does he?
Guys.
Is that guy?
Huh. Here's the first one. And again, this was. I think this is going to be split right down the middle. I love this song, Kevin. I think you hate it.
Okay.
I mean, that's Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
And people are really split on this song. What do you think, Jensen? What do you think, Allie, on Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney?
I go in the good pile.
I agree.
I love it when it comes on. I always enjoy it.
Are we in a pile?
Yeah, I'm making piles. I'm doing it.
By the way, I'm sure this isn't true anymore in the age of streaming music, but if you go to the Wikipedia page for Wonderful Christmas Time by Paul McCartney, last time it was updated, it said he made around $400,000 a year, every year, from that song.
Wow.
From that song alone?
Yes, because of that song and the hundreds of cover versions of that song.
I need to write a crappy version of a Christmas song.
Here's another classic Christmas song that's been around for 60 years. I love it. What do you guys think about Little Drummer Boy? Any thoughts on Little Drummer Boy?
It's not a good song.
It's not good.
It's a
bad
downer.
Pile.
Yeah, it's a downer for me.
Is it a downer? If you listen to the lyrics, it's about the little kid who goes to visit the baby Jesus and doesn't have any money.
But
to
who listens to the lyrics? You're just like, nah.
And he didn't. Like, people were busy with, like, frankincense and myrrh. That kid didn't show up.
Also, not a good drummer. There's no good drumming in that song.
Agree.
You know, I never realized that. All right, here's one you may not know. It's a country classic, though, most recently done by Alan Jackson. The original was done by John Denver, though. Here's how this one goes.
How quick can I put in the bad part?
Right?
What is this?
Please, Daddy, don't get drunk this Christmas.
No, sir.
And then he said, I don't want to see my mommy cry.
Yes.
That's the best song ever.
That is so dark.
That honestly was too real.
Flashing you back to your childhood.
Yeah, wow.
We're going to run out of time on
no,
this.
No, we're not.
We may have to roll this over,
we
you guys.
We can do that. We can keep going.
Because when you did bring up Little Drummer Boy, I do want to bring the Justin Bieber Busta Rhymes version into the mix
I'm
as well.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, so maybe we do this later also. Okay, go on.
Really? They did one too? All right. Here's another all-time classic. You don't hear it as much as you used to, but it was on the radio for decades and decades. Do you guys know I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus will do.
I sensed that you couldn't hit the radio button fast enough if that came on, Kevin.
I'm out.
That is 10-year-old Gayla Peavy. From back in 1953, who I have followed her career since.
Of course you have.
Oh, my God.
And she is still alive. And, in fact, from time to time, they fly her to various zoos around the world.
I'm sorry, zoos?
Yes. When they get a new hippopotamus, she's there for the unveiling of the hippopotamus to the public because she's the I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas lady.
And she does the song even at an old age?
Yes.
Oh, great.
That same voice.
That same voice.
A little dress. And like a lollipop.
So that's only four. That's a little less than half. Should we take a break and come back and do some more?
Yes, please.
All right, we'll be right back. 5 minutes from right now, we'll tell you how you can win your tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas coming up here on K-Rock. All right, we're talking about a list in the St. Louis Dispatch newspaper where everybody who contributes to the paper there contributed a song that they hate, a Christmas song that they hate that other people seem to really, really like. It's a very divisive topic. There's some people who have no time for any kind of Christmas music.
True.
Some people like me like maybe too much of it. Daniel weighs in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account at Kevin and Bean. Little Drummer Boy is my mom's favorite and was mine until I listened to Jensen Get Up On It, a Punch Up the Jam a few months back, and now that song is kind of ruined for me. What's he talking about there, Jensen?
When we had Demi Ajayi in here for Punch Up the Jam podcast, he told us that Little Drummer Boy, they had made it better, and then we played it, and it was just the Little Drummer Boy you know, but with a ton of drum solos.
What's the version that you mentioned in the last segment as we were debating that song?
Yeah, this is Justin Bieber and Busta Rhymes doing Little Drummer Boy, and I think it's probably the worst Christmas song ever made.
I mean, I gotta be honest, that's almost so bad it's good.
It's
almost that bad.
In the video, he's very, very young. It was like young Bieber. Aww. And then Busta Rhymes, who doesn't look like the Busta Rhymes you remember, is sort of just running around behind him. It's very bad.
It doesn't have a great Christmas feeling to it.
No,
it doesn't. Seems aggressive.
By the way, if K-Rock were ever to play a version, the Joan Jett version is pretty awesome of Little Drummer Boy. All right, let's get back to the list. This, again, was nominated by a writer for the St. Louis Dispatch. I think this is going to be very controversial in the room. There are reasons why some people hate this song. What do you guys think about Begging Dade? Especially the part where Bono says, what's the line? Tonight, thank God it's them and not us, or whatever it is.
But tonight, thank God it's them instead of you.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought you said, what do you think of Begging Dave?
Me
I'm
too.
Like, who's Begging Dave?
Band-Aid. I said Band-Aid.
No,
didn't sound like
didn't.
It at all.
Either way, it's in my bad pile.
Oh, I love it. No, I love it. Love.
And there's What do you think, Kevin?
Oof.
Do they know it's Christmas? You won't listen to that when it comes out.
No.
Because a lot of people love it because they have fond memories of it coming out with the video and Boy George and George Michael and the Police and everybody else being in it. You know, it was kind of a big event, a big deal at the time.
But I think being like you described that you like too much music, I think I like too little just because you've heard everything so many times and then there's no good new stuff. And I probably like less than the
That one's been
person.
Ruined for you just from being played for the last 30 years.
Yes.
And there's also something about... These are people in Africa who really, they're probably not Christians. So why would they care if it's Christmas? You know what I mean? There's a little bit of that going on, too.
Jesus.
Wow.
No, but I'm serious.
But I mean, Christmas is...
Yeah, plot twist. A lot of people that aren't Christians
for non-religious. Care about
Christmas.
I don't know. Is it big in Africa?
Well, I don't know.
Okay, I don't
it
know
It might
either.
Have been after this song because they didn't know yet.
Here's an all-time classic that we used to play here on the Kevin and Bean Show back in the 90s, but for some reason, and I can't put my finger on it, it's fallen out of favor a little bit. It's from the great Tiny Tim.
Oh, this is Santa Claus saying I won't be around this year. I'm a bit sick. Santa Claus has got the AIDS this year.
Yeah, I don't feel like
what?
That.
What?
And he won't be around to spread his Christmas cheer.
That's not real.
Wait, you've never heard that?
No.
Yeah.
Allie's never heard that.
That's going in your bad pile, Jensen?
No, no, no. I was saying I know it, but I think it's... I mean, I love it. I was just saying I know the song. I just think it's so funny because Tiny Tim, it's like, this came out of nowhere. You know what I mean?
That's the guy with a little ukulele?
Yeah, this is late career Tiny Tim, which was a lot different than Tiny Tim.
1996. Better Tiny Tim.
Yeah, he got real weird at the end.
Possibly the most famous ukulele player of all time, by the way.
Well, until you start.
Right. Until I get going. I got to get that lesson going. All right, here's another one that doesn't get played very much anymore. Allie, you would have heard this for years growing up listening to, if you listen to K-Earth, for instance. This was all the way back in the 1960s by a singer named Lou Monte.
Hey, jingity jing. It's Dominic the Donkey. Jingity jing. The Italian Christmas donkey.
Do they fly this guy to every donkey petting zoo?
Every donkey show.
What?
No, he's not playing donkey shows.
Dominic
the Donkey.
I've never heard that.
He's huge in Tijuana.
It was a classic that was played for 40 years, Kevin.
No,
and his
sir.
Follow-up, Pepino the Italian Mouse, too, by the way.
Oh, sure.
He hit the well twice.
All right. Two more on the list, by the way.
We could do this all day.
Right?
This
I know. Yeah. This is one that I got to be honest, I hated from the minute I heard it, and it was so popular. It was turned into a TV show. It was turned into a movie. Y'all remember Elmo and Patsy.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
This is the one I was going to suggest.
Walking yeah, it's my bad pile.
Christmas Eve.
I mean... I don't think it gets played much anymore, but do you remember how you couldn't get away from this song?
Yeah.
As a little kid, I lived for this song. Like that, it was so funny.
Really?
Yes.
As a little kid. What was your ruling on whether you should open up the grandma's gifts or send them back?
Oh, yeah. You open them.
You open them up.
Yeah, for sure.
And send them back. Don't take yelling at the end.
And I saved the worst for last.
Oh, you did?
What about the donkey? That's not the worst for last?
No, I saved the worst for last because it's very difficult. As Kevin mentioned, there are very few new Christmas songs that come out that become standards. Obviously, Mariah Carey, in the last 25 years, she's created a monster that's going to live forever. Sure. All I Want for Christmas is You. It's one of the best Christmas songs of all time, in my opinion, by the way. Here's one of the only other few songs that has broken through and has become a modern standard that gets played every year, and it's that goddamn Christmas Shoes song by New Song, which I couldn't hate anymore. Let's hear a little of that, shall we?
Sure, I wanna buy new shoes for my mama.
Little kid in a store buying shoes at the counter.
It's Christmas Eve and shoes are just her size.
Well, the shoes are just her size. What's she going to be wearing them for, do you think?
Could you hurry?
Oh, what's the rush?
Daddy says there's not much time.
Not much time? Why, what's mom got going on?
She's been sick for quite a while.
Oh, she's sick?
No, these shoes will make a smile.
How will the shoes help her?
One or two look beautiful. If mama meets Jesus tonight.
Oh. F you right in those shoes.
Oh,
right?
Can you do that?
He wouldn't care about the shoes. Come on.
That's not how Jesus works. I'm sure of it.
I cry every
I'm sorry, Allie is...
No, you don't!
Yes, I do.
It's the worst. It's the most manipulative...
Allie is literally crying.
It's a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Jesus, and she wants her night
shoes. Oh, Jesus has never shown any emphasis towards shoes. It's not needed. Save the money.
All right, okay, we have tickets.
Allie, calm down.
By the way, Allie cried while Bean was ruining that song, too. She couldn't even hear it without Bean making fun of it.
All right, wow.
We have tickets for night two of K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas and Bud Light Backstage Passes for night number two. If you want to call right now, we don't have a hint for the game, right?
No, maybe know what it's like to hear a machine.
That's our hint. So 1-800-520-1067. All right, listen, you're going to have to go with us on this one.
Look, it sounded funny in the meeting.
Yeah. We have to come up with a lot of games, and we do, to give away tickets. And in this particular one, I believe it was thrown out as a joke. And then we started sort of to work our back way into it, and then none of us could get away from it.
It's so good.
We don't really have a choice now.
Why are we apologizing before we know if it's going to be a success or not?
Guys, this is what they're going to pull for the Radio Hall of Fame, so let's all just calm down.
Night two of the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas 2018 is going to be on Sunday night, December 9th at the Forum. You win tickets to that and also the Bud Light Backstage Passes as well. Because Florence and the Machine is headlining that night, we thought it'd be fun to play a game we call Name That Machine.
You a machine head, acoustic Christmas, just name that sound. You a machine head, acoustic Christmas, just name that sound. Yeah, just name that machine.
All right, so...
Just name that machine.
Okay, you're not making it better, Omar.
And it sounds good with the music.
You're not helping now. All right. So, Jensen, you have a list of sound effects of machines, and all you're going to do is play it for the listener. They have to tell you what the machine is.
That's it.
That's okay. The game. And then if they're right, they go into the drawing and someone wins tickets
now,
to night two.
Now, here's a hint. They are not all from this year. Some of them are from way back in the past, so you just have to sort of...
And also, be happy, because for the past 2 weeks, I've been pitching Jared Beto, which is a game where I take movies that involve Jared Leto, and I somehow shoehorn in Beto O'Rourke.
Right. So we've been turning that down, and we're doing the right thing. All right, okay. Let's start with Eric and Alyssa Viejo. Hi.
Hello.
Okay. All right. This is
going to be easy for him on the phone, by the way, to name that machine.
Yeah, it sounds like he has a machine behind him. This sound is of a machine. You tell me what machine it is. Okay.
A fax machine.
A fax machine.
That is a fax machine.
How about that?
Oh, my God.
How did he get that?
Congratulations.
Just name that machine.
Wow. That was shocking.
That was very good.
Let's go to Brett in Huntington Beach. Hi, Brett.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Brett. I hope you're a machine head because this...
Oh, I am.
Okay, good. This sound right here, I need you to name. What machine is this? Brett, what is that?
Is that a saw?
I'll give it to him.
No? You?
Well, I mean, think of...
Yeah, you're partially right. You're half right.
What would make that saw a machine?
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
What would make that saw a machine? What would you add to it to make it a machine?
A electric saw? I don't know.
I don't know. Got to go to the judges.
I mean,
I think no. I don't think it's an electric saw. No. I'm sorry. I think it was a chainsaw is what we were looking for. A chainsaw, Brett. So sorry, but thank you for playing.
What if you have Bert Kreischer using it?
Okay. His nickname is the machine.
I like it.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
Ramon in Whittier. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Hey, I hope you're a machine head because this next sound is a machine I need you to name. Here it is. There you go. You heard the whole run.
That's a microwave.
Yes!
Yes! I was just thinking before he said that, there's no way I'd get this.
This game rules.
Microwave. All right. I feel like this game is getting solidified into our list of games that we're going to actually play
pretty good
once a week. Let's go to Myra, is it, in Los Angeles?
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello, hello. Here we go. This machine, you tell me what it is. Here's the sound. I think we got the point on this one.
We're writing a book.
Whoa, there you go.
A typewriter?
It is.
It is. Yay. A typewriter. It nicely is a typewriter. Done.
Very I saw good. That she was a student, and I was like, does she even know what a typewriter right. sounds like?
I bet she's never seen one in person.
Right.
All right, let's go to Mike in Canyon Country. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Hey, Mike. This sound right here, one of my faves. What machine is this? All right.
Dial-up modem.
It's that
yes!
is a dial-up modem.
Wow. Just name that
machine. I don't miss those days, I'll tell you that.
That no. sound is not a good one either. All right. Let's go to Enrique in Los Angeles. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good hey, morning.
Enrique. Hey, Enrique. One of my least favorite machine sounds, but here it is. What is that?
Leaf blower?
Oh, I'm so
the
sorry.
Pass. So close, though. Close. The same kind of annoyance. That was a lawnmower.
Oh, yeah. Close.
Yeah,
you were
unfortunately,
close. You were in the yard. Yeah. Wrong tool, though.
They're
thank
both,
you.
You'll both hear them on Saturday at 7 a.m. Two completely different machines.
We just have time for one more to qualify for K-Rock's Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas. Thank you.
All right. It's Fernando in Riverside. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Fernando, name this machine.
Guys, I think this may be the best game we've ever done.
It's so good.
Yeah. Is this a leaf blower?
No.
No,
it actually is the opposite. It's a vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner. Oh. Sorry.
Vacuum cleaner.
Though, sorry. Appreciate
sorry.
That. All right. I think that was a good showing, though, from Eric and Ramon and Myra and Mike. They are all in the running, but only one will win tickets, not only for the show on December 9th at the Forum, headlined by Florence and the Machine, or as Kevin likes to say, Florence Against the Machine. You also get the Bud Light backstage passes. Who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Myra.
Myra. Congrats, Myra.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Enjoy. But really, truly, all the callers are winners because they were just part of radio history.
Just name that machine. Just name that machine.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
A very funny man named Hasan Minhaj is going to be joining us just after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has that Netflix show Patriot Act. You know him from The Daily Show. And he's got a new Comedy Central special as well. So a lot to catch up with Hasan coming up. First, Allie's got what's happening on this Tuesday.
Well, per court papers that were made public yesterday, we now know a little more about what went down with Alec Baldwin.
Oh, in the
remember?
Parking space
yeah.
fight, right?
Did you punch someone? Did you not? Well, this is according to the papers made public. Shortly after Alec Baldwin reportedly punched the driver in an argument over a parking spot a few weeks ago, he told the police officer who reported to the scene that the driver was an a-hole, and he admitted that he pushed him because, quote, he stole my spot.
Now, is this a spot that Alec owns and only he's allowed to park in?
That is not made clear in this, but then the complaint also shared Baldwin's accuser's side of the story, who told police that, quote, the defendant pushed me and striked me across the left of my face with his closed right hand, resulting in pain to my face.
So, that's just another way to say he hit me?
He punched me, essentially. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Alec is saying he pushed him because he stole a spot. Mm-hmm. The other guy's saying he punched me. So either way, Alec Baldwin got mad about a parking spot and mm-hmm. was physical with someone.
Yeah.
What are you doing, sure? Alec?
Yeah, no kidding.
He's such an angry, angry man.
He really is.
Well, what are you so angry about? Your wife's all namaste yoga lady. Maybe take some of her classes. Damn it. It's too much. I don't want to bring this story up because I'm afraid you're going to play a clip, but let me just try and get through it pretty quick. The Chainsmokers, Kelsea Ballerini, Foster the People, Dua Lipa, Macklemore, Skylar Grey, LMI, and Charlie Puth are all ringing in 2019 by rocking the West Coast Celebration, the Dick Clark's New Year's Eve Rockin' Eve on December 31st.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Will they ever...
All right, let's count it down.
Okay, here we go.
20, 20. 19,
nope.
16, what? 17, 9, 12, 10, this 4, doesn't... 14.
14.
Happy New Year!
After 14?
7.
Okay. Oh, we're still going?
11, 11, 18.
Ryan Seacrest is hosting the event from New York for the 13th year.
Happy New Year!
Jenny McCarthy is going to report from Times Square. Lucy Hale will take on the third annual Central Time Zone Countdown. She'll be live from New Orleans. Ciara is going to be hosting the Hollywood Party as the West Coast celebrates. So,
that is, do you guys watch these?
That is a horrible show, by the way.
It's a horrible show every year.
Yeah. It's a horrible show every year. Yeah. And Jenny McCarthy is terrible out there on the street. I see bits and pieces of New Year's. I tape them all. And then kind of scan them sometimes the next day because I'm in bed by midnight, obviously.
Sure.
Obviously. But that's a terrible show. And I'm just wondering, at some point, are they going to take Mr. Clark's name off of it? I mean, Ryan Seacrest is pretty well known at this point. Couldn't it just be Ryan Seacrest New Year's Eve?
It's Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. Maybe he just owns it.
Maybe his estate gets the money, so why not?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, maybe the estate has got a producer's credit or something. Right. Yeah. I see why you didn't want to bring up Dick Clark. I know that hurts your heart every time
really
we play
does,
that. But look, it's not our fault. They put the man on TV after he had a stroke. It's kind of on them.
Listen to the two of you. Listen to the two of you.
I stand by. Look, I am embarrassed by a lot of our positions.
Adamant. It wasn't us.
I stand
by really? It's not you in that.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
We didn't put him on TV, Allie. Why are you looking at us like
that? Guys, we almost lost Cardi B yesterday.
No. Oh, no.
Her private plane made an emergency landing in Chicago. So they were going from L.A. to New York City, and it wasn't a mechanical issue, but Cardi announced that the aircraft made an unscheduled landing in Chicago. TMZ is reporting that her pilot suffered from some serious stomach issues during the flight. Oh my God, you guys!
I gotta take this plane down so I can poop?
The fear.
How do you call the tower in Chicago? And I think the weather's so bad they like canceled 100 flights or something.
Yeah, it's been real bad.
How do you call them and go, we need to make an emergency landing and have a toilet ready?
Yeah, the plane was diverted to O'Hare due to a weather-related runway closure at Midway.
Okay.
What if there was nowhere for this guy to land and he's just like, I'm going to poo all over this cockpit?
So, private plane, so no co-pilot.
Right.
Right, and couldn't just put it on autopilot and go take care of business and come back, probably.
Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy. Imagine explaining that to the client who hired you and is spending $100,000 for this flight.
Listen, we got to land this because I got to poo. I got to poo real bad.
I'm glad everything worked out and Cardi B's okay.
Oh, me too, you guys. Me too. All right, some birthdays for you. We've got Michael Vartan, we've got Charlton Copley, Bill Nye, and Jaleel White. And that.
Hey, big show still to come here on the. You said the Kevin Bean Show.
Right?
You said that part right here on K-Rock this morning, including comedian Eliza is going to be joining us on the program. Also, Jensen found something on YouTube he wants to share with us. Something you enjoyed about DJ Khaled, which surprised me.
Listen, I've been a fan of DJ Khaled until he realized he was funny. Like, when it was just naturally who he was before he was self-aware, DJ Khaled was great.
Really?
That's hard for me to believe. Yeah. You're going to have to prove that
with the tape.
I've never seen that side.
Neither.
When he got famous, he became aware of what everyone was laughing at. But for years, we were laughing without him knowing.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. That's all coming up this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Hey, comedian and writer and actor and all the rest, Hasan Minhaj, back on the Kevin Bean Show. He's been with us in studio and now back on the phone. He's the man who almost single-handedly killed the White House Correspondents' Dinner, by the way. He and Michelle Wolf was the 1-2 punch that made the president go and the nation go, no more need for comedy in that event. So nice job, Hasan.
thanks, man. Now we need authors, I guess.
Yes,
exactly. Everyone loves live readings.
That is going to make it great. Hasan is very busy. I'm stunned that he's able to be on the phone. Of course, he has his weekly Netflix show that is so good, by the way, on Netflix, as I mentioned, Sunday nights. And he has a Comedy Central special along with friends of his called Goat Face tonight at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. Where did the name Goatface for you and your friends come from, Hassan?
It was, you know, it's one of those sort of classic sketch comedy group names where we were just all riffing and we were thinking of, you know, different names, I guess, and we were just riffing and seeing things on the wall and I think someone said Ghostface Killers. And then someone was like, no, goat face. And we just kept, it was just one of those things that, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, you were just riffing, and we eventually came up with goat face.
We've been there with trying to come up with names.
Yeah, and it was just sort of kind of silly and ridiculous. And believe it or not, goats are actually in all the countries that, like, are, you know, we're from. Like, goats are big in India and Afghanistan and Greece. And so I was like, that's really funny, actually. It's kind of interesting. Cool.
I wasn't expecting to have that that lesson learned on this morning's Kevin and Bean show. Yeah. Countries where goats are popular.
Yeah.
So you and your brown friends, who are all also comedians, you look at this as a way to do some sketch comedy, like you said, but also kind of introduce fans of yours to some of these other people who are very funny that may not be as well known.
Yeah. I mean, you know, before I was on The Daily Show, I was doing sketch and stand-up. And we all knew each other from the stand-up scene, and me, Fahim, Ari, Asif, we actually, you know, around 2012, we started making sketches together and putting them up on YouTube, and you know, we had some sort of viral hits, and then I joined The Daily Show, and Comedy Central came forward and said, hey, are there any other things that you've worked on or that you want to work on? And I showed them some of our stuff, and they were like, oh, this is really cool and interesting. We should do something like this. And Comedy Central's always been the home for, you know, very uniquely, you know, character-driven, POV-driven sketch comedy shows. It's a very rare thing. There's not a lot of things that do stuff these days.
Hassan, is this just another way to get you more sneakers?
Correct. Yes,
okay.
100%.
Just making
sure. These are all ploys to get me, a sneaker deal, or B, to get me more sneakers. For
okay. All right, because that was one of the first sketches that I saw. I'm like, more sneakers from this guy.
Hassan, I am a sneaker. Yep. I'm a sneakerhead with you. And first, I want to apologize for being saying brown friends. But the other part is I wanted to know, what is the grail for you? Like, what is the top shoe? I know you wore the threes on your Netflix show, but, like, what's the major shoe for you? What's the one that you're working for?
I would say my all-time, and I actually haven't owned them yet, but would be the Concord 11s. Those to me are like those white and black 11s.
Good shoes.
Like the all-time.
Good shoes.
Do you have those?
I do not own them, no, but they're great shoes. I just don't like 11s a ton, but those are good ones, yes.
Well, when you watch Goatface, you are going to want the Jordans that they show.
Okay. I want the crying Jordans. I know that.
Well, yeah, those are the ones. I didn't want to say it because you just gave it away.
I don't think I'm ever going to get a deal from Nike. That was the whole thing. I was like, oh, I've always wanted a sneaker contract. But the way we sort of go after Jordan and that is, I don't know if it's good.
Yeah, you may have ruined your own shot of getting those.
Yeah. That's right. How many?
I know, but I respect the game. I respect the comedy game more than I respect the sneaker game. So I got to be honest.
All right, Jensen, how many pair of shoes do you have?
I have about 150.
150. How about you, Hassan?
You have kids? Wait, do you have kids?
No.
Okay.
That's a big part of it.
Yeah. I had to downsize significantly. So, you know, I used to have like maybe like 30 pairs, and now I'm down to like 15 because we were.
Get off my phone!
What is he doing?
15.
Get off my phone!
That is even. Hey, you guys can roll your eyes. You can stop. You can tweet me. But if you know, like I am a saint by the sneaker community. I have become a minimalist.
Yeah, no, you are what we all strive to be. I mean, I'm forcing my wife to wake up with me.
People in the sneaker community are like, when did you go sneaker vegan? That's incredible.
Yeah, Hassan, I made my wife wake up at 7 a.m. this weekend to get the Union Jordan 1s. Like, I'm still in a disgusting place.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Jensen brought up the shoes, Hassan's immediate reaction was, do you have kids? Dude, you just had a kid this year. Calm down. It's not like that changed your sneaker game.
Both children and space scarcity in New York change your life completely. You have to look at the world.
That's a good point. You don't just get another apartment in New York for your shoes?
How well do you think I'm doing, you guys?
Really well.
I mean, he is still wearing jeans on the show. He's not that fancy yet, you guys.
Yeah.
I very much recommend the weekly Netflix show, by the way, on Sunday nights. And you can also see Hassan's stand-up comedy specials there as well. And the new Goat Face comedy special is going to be tonight on Comedy Central, which is going to air at 10 o'clock. And it is very funny. You guys are going to really, really enjoy it. Hassan, next time you're back in town, come see us again, my friend.
I'm going to pop by. Thanks, guys.
All right, perfect. Sounds great. One of the little things in life that makes me happy is knowing that someone's alarm went off during that song.
Right? That's the one. That's the way you want to wake up.
That's the first thing you hear in the morning. Like, it's not tough enough waking up at 7:20 in the morning, but you're welcome, and welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How do we get on this topic, you guys, the little things that make you happy?
Sadly, yeah, it was Omar. Omar brought up.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He brought up the.
Yeah, we don't.
No wipe. I'll just say it. That makes him happy.
A no wiper.
Yeah. A no wiper.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't want to get into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's weird because yes. Omar, okay. So, yeah. So then we started, you see what I'm saying?
Now some people just woke up to that.
Right? That's the first thing they heard.
Yeah. It's getting worse and worse. So once the topic was it a topic breached or broached? I think it's broached. Once the topic was broached, then Allie just lit up. She's like, oh, that's my whole life is those little things, those moments, those things that just make the world seem magical.
It's the little things that usually people would just never even think about, but they bring you insane amounts of joy. One thing that brings me insane amounts of joy is when I'm I get my clothes fresh from the dryer.
Mm-hmm.
You just washed your sheets. Oh, how good do they smell, first of all? So warm. And then you go to put that fitted sheet on the bed and you nail the right side for the fitted sheet. So you don't have to put it on, then realize, oh, crap, it goes the other way. When you nail the fitted sheet, I'm telling you, I had a run. I did it 6 times in a row.
No.
And it felt so good.
You're a sorceress.
No, it was wondrous, I'm telling you. And then that next time, I was like, well, you know what?
Good average.
I had a great run.
You sure did.
Absolutely.
You must have felt like Wonder Woman or something like that.
I was solving all the world's problems.
Wow.
Absolutely.
That's a good one.
But it's dumb stuff like that, like little things.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes.
Is the smaller the better.
Yes, for sure.
At 1-800-520-1067, little things that make you happy.
Here's one that assistant producer Christine just weighed in with on this topic. My favorite little thing is when you pick up a bottle of dishwashing liquid, and little bubbles pop out and fly around while you're doing the dishes.
That does sound great.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Delightful.
That's Snow White-esque.
It's like you're in a Disney movie. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really good. I have one that I'd like to contribute to. And again, we're taking your calls on this topic at 1-800-520-1067. And I think I've mentioned this before. It's very difficult to do. But if you can get, when you buy gas, if you can get both the amount of gas that you put into your car and the amount of money that you're paying to both end in zeros, that's magic.
That's a slot machine.
So it's not just
like a slot machine.
It's not just an even number, like an eight. It has to end at zero.
Zero, zero. Yeah. It has to end in zero, zero. Yeah.
How often does that happen?
Not often enough, okay. I'll tell you. And it all depends on how much the price of gas is, too. You know what I mean?
Do you stop it on purpose there?
You can certainly stop how much you're going to pay. You can say, I've decided to put $40 in or 36 or whatever the number is. But that never is also a zero-zero on the gas.
Never matches up, yeah.
What a burn.
You got to do both. And, I mean, it happens so rarely. But when it does, I mean, you just want to go and just hug everyone at the gas station and insist they come over and look at it and take pictures with you.
And they're like, what's this weird guy doing?
I know.
I don't care how much gas he got.
Whole number of gas. That's my thing.
Listen, I could say the easy ones. Email under 20 is great. Receiving mail, those are good ones. But I have two very specific ones. One is when you find a parking space and you lock it in, mm-hmm. and a car is coming the other way thinking they could get the parking spot, and then you know you've gotten that spot.
Right.
And there's no stress, there's no worry. You know it's your spot.
Then Alec Baldwin gets out and punches you right in the face.
That's the problem. But then my other one, it's only happened to me twice. It's very specific. You know the TV show Cheaters?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Two times I've turned on Cheaters, and when I wonder which episode this is, and it's the one where the host gets stabbed on the yacht.
That's the famous
both
one. Yeah,
times?
Yeah. I've really only stumbled on Cheaters twice, and both times it was the Joey Greco being stabbed on a boat episode.
That's and that made you so happy.
So happy. I think about it maybe twice a month.
Kevin, do you have any?
When you peel an orange in one piece.
Oh, yeah.
So satisfying.
It's so rare, too. Do you do it often?
I try.
Yeah.
Don't do it often, but I try. Oh. Mm-hmm. But when you do, it's like,
feels real good.
Everyone could see me now.
And then you post it to Instagram.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Paul from Cyprus texts us. Same number, by the way, 1-800-520-1067. Paul's in the 714. He says, I love it when someone zooms past me on the road, and then we end up at the same red light.
Oh, that is a good feeling.
What about zooms past you on the road, and then they're pulled over ahead of you as you drive away? That's even better.
Or it's into a fatal car crash.
I don't know that that's
too far.
Sorry, just me.
All right, let's go to Long Beach. Let's say hi to our friend Stephanie. She's on line one here. We're talking about those little things in life that make you happy.
Hey, Stephanie.
Thank you for calling. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So the best thing in life is when you don't even try and you make the perfect cup of coffee.
Okay, what's the perfect cup of coffee for you?
Well, a dark blonde, not really sweet, but just, I don't know, just at the perfect temperature. You can sip on it. I don't know, it's just so good.
I'm with you.
All right.
Okay.
I hear you.
Good enough. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Doesn't sound that hard.
Well, no, to get it, if you're making, and it's not like a Keurig or something that you know it's going to be the same type of cup, when you get that perfect cup of coffee and you can sip it and not burn your tongue, but it's also so warm that you feel it go down your insides of your tummy.
You heard the Cheaters one, right?
All right, you're right.
Let's try line five, please. This is going to be Chris. He is in Anaheim talking about those little things that make you happy. Chris, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, nice to be here. One of the things that make me really happy is buying a fresh packet of socks and slipping them on for the first time.
New socks.
Kevin hears you. Kevin hears you. Socks. You know how he is about underwear.
After you wash them, you can never get them like that again.
He's right.
That's true.
He's right.
That's true. It's a one-time
thing.
Be like
Kevin, just throw them away after one wear.
I don't do that.
Do it when you got that kind of money, right?
Right, rich Kevin.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's try Angie, line four. She's in Duarte on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Angie.
Hi.
Good morning, guys. Morning. What's your little thing that makes you happy?
When the USB goes in the port correctly.
Oh, good one. And you don't have to flip it or anything.
Yes.
Good one.
And this is not a euphemism, right? We're literally talking about USBs.
I've never experienced that. I hope to sometimes.
Yeah. All right. Let's try, how about Thaddeus, Woodland Hills, line two. We'll take one more before the break and then as many calls as we can take afterwards at 1-800-520-1067. Thaddeus, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey.
What's the little thing that makes you happy?
So, you know how when you're pouring, like, soda or beer and it, like, froths over and you have to, like, gauge on whether or not it's going to spill over or something?
Right.
Just, like, when you can pour it and it still stays at the top, when the bubbles or, like, the froth stays at the top.
Yeah. I feel that with Prosecco every time. Oh, yeah, right? It delights me, right? Thaddeus. Yes.
No one wants to do, like, the quick drink.
Nobody wants that. And then if it spills over the cup, what a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to clean it up and
yes,
whatever, and you're just like at the top, just like trying to suck up like the little froth or whatever, and to get it away
so
or whatever.
Attracted to you right now. Yes.
All right, you two, we're going to pay for your date if you'd like to go out on it. Thank you, Thaddeus, for the call. We'll be right back with your little things that make you happy next on Kids.
Had a panic at the disco. Let's take one phone call and make it. Daniel in Downey. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
We're talking about those little things that just make you light up.
Well, for me, it's when I get up to go to work in the morning at 5 o'clock, but I jump in the shower, and it's the perfect temperature. I think that makes me just not want to go to work. Just sit there, stand there in the shower.
Daniel, how long does that take? How long does it get to a perfect moment before you get in?
Well, I mean, you know, being a guy, you know, you turn it on, then you do what you shave, shower, and whatever, but you turn it on when you're done with your other, you get in, and it's just the perfect temperature without even thinking. You don't have to adjust anything. It's just when you turn it on, you just whoop, do your thing, get in, and it's just ready to go. And you just,
you can never move from that house. Seriously. You're going to have to live there for the rest of your life because you're not going to find that everywhere you go, Daniel. Thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Little things, you guys, they can mean a lot.
We're talking about tiny things. The smaller, the better. That make you very happy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. we got a text from Jason in 909. He said, when you order French fries and you get an onion ring inside the box.
Yes.
That is beautiful.
That is a sweet thing.
See, that would make me uncomfortable. I don't like that at all because that means somebody's asleep at the wheel, man. That means somebody's not doing their job properly.
It's a bonus.
No. It's just when they're putting it from the fryer, one moved over.
Yeah, it's
and
like
that
a
just
nice
got
surprise.
It's, yeah, slight little surprise.
Chip,
yeah.
You have one?
I have one, yeah. So every morning I drive about 45 minutes to work. I drive from Orange County.
Right.
And I listen to a different album when I drive up here.
Mm-hmm.
When I turn to swipe my key card to open the gate, if the album ends as I'm doing that,
perfectly
boom.
Ends.
Okay, nice. Touchdown.
Nice.
Here's Brenda from Montebello texting in 626. When the printer is short on paper, but you're too lazy to add more and your print job uses the exact amount of paper that's left,
oh, that's
you walk away
too.
Knowing the next sucker has to fill it.
That is glorious.
The next sucker has to fill it.
All right, let's go to line four, Jensen. I think you'll appreciate George. He'll be your new soulmate calling us from Compton here. Hey, George.
Hello there.
Hi. Tiny things that make you happy.
Well, to me, it's finding that secret bathroom at work that nobody really knows about, that nobody really uses, and it's like always the cleanest one, and you just do your business, and you know nobody's going to bother you. It's just amazing.
George, that's like, that was honestly fanfic for me.
It's like the call was coming from inside your head.
Yeah, I have been searching this building far and wide. I do it everywhere I work. But boy, when you find a crisp, unused bathroom in your work, it probably stay at that job forever.
That's really more of a big thing that makes you happy, though, right? I mean, that's so high up on your priority list, Jensen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That,
honestly, when I take a job, it's top three things I think about.
All right, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Hey, Chip, you get you know what ready as we go to Dan and Pico Rivera. He's on line six, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Little things that make you happy. Dan, you're on the air.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This show has changed my life, and I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Okay, all right.
I go to the grocery store. I go to any store. The total comes out to $17.09. I cheer up. I get so happy.
I mean, it's like a tribute to Kevin when you see that 1709, right?
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say 1709?
What? 1709?
Hold on. Hold on. I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But
that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was a moment with Kevin.
All right, I'm glad that makes you happy, Dan.
Dan is right. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you listening, sir. Let's go to Katie Line 2. Katie's in Seal Beach. I think she's got one you can all identify with as well.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you. Little things that make you happy.
So, you know, when you have a box of cereal and the bag that contains the cereal, it almost always rips when you open it.
Totally.
But when you can open it perfectly along the top on the first try to have it perfectly opened and ready to pour your cereal, bliss.
Has that ever happened, though? I end up having to get scissors sometimes and start punching holes in the bag to get it open. It looks like a crime scene by the time I'm done.
He gets a drill?
Yes.
A chainsaw?
Scissors is usually what I would go for, but when you can do it perfectly the first time without any help, that's when you know.
That's amazing.
I'll let you know when that happens.
Yeah, that's I'm going to have to write a strongly worded letter to Grape Nuts because their bags are almost impossible.
Well, they hold sand. They have to be strong bags.
All right. Wow, we have so many, you guys.
How about this one? How about when you wake up like 2 to 3 hours before you have to wake up?
Great feeling.
And then you go, you know what? I get to sleep for another 2 hours.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome, Kevin. You're absolutely right about that. All right. Let's try Caleb, please. Line 4, Koreatown, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Caleb.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Talking about little things that make you happy.
Yeah, it actually just happened to me, so I figured I would call in and tell you guys about
okay.
it. When a police officer is behind you and he turns his lights and siren on,
mm-hmm.
but he's not after you and he flies past you.
Oh, yes.
That
wow.
is the best, because it makes your heart skip a beat, and it's like, Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just go back to texting.
I'm glad they didn't get you this time. Thank you very much. Here's another text we just got from Gavin in the 818. What makes me happy when Chipotle doesn't charge me for the guac because it's hidden underneath the lettuce that I asked the worker to add to my bowl. Huge score. Sounds like he's working a huge scam there is what it sounds like.
The little thing is shoplifting.
All right, let's try line three. Marilyn up next. Marilyn, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you you're streaming us in Indiana?
Yes.
That's a little thing that makes me happy. Thanks for listening to the show. What's yours?
Okay, so when you lost some weight and you're eyeing those skinny jeans and you're like, no, they're not going to fit, but what the heck? And you put them on and they fit perfectly.
Oh, nice.
It's that last little shimmy when you put them on. You're like, I didn't even need to shimmy. Yes.
Congratulations.
I didn't know what you were going to say there, B.
I thought I'd say something nice.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Marilyn.
For a change. All right. We might as well deal with Natalie. She's
We have to, though?
She's the big elephant in the room. We have to. Our last call. Natalie, it's all you.
Oh, last but not least. Well, mine is, and it's kind of gross, but it's true. When you go number two and it disappears. Like, you get up and you look, and there's nothing in there.
Not like magic. You mean like it goes into the hole.
It's just gone.
She's talking
like
about
it's just,
magic.
It's just gone. You don't even ask questions. It's just gone. And the double
Natalie,
whammy.
You should ask
the
questions.
The double whammy is when it's in somebody's home or something. You know, that's a great thing.
Oh, like someone you know's home.
Yeah, but isn't that is that what toilets are supposed to do? That's how they're designed.
No. Without flushing or
without
anything.
Without flushing.
It's gone.
Wait.
So
without
then you don't flushing. Flush? You leave without flushing?
She doesn't need to.
Yeah.
Wait, how did...
No,
then you are talking about
gone.
Magic. You aren't talking about flushing?
No, she's talking about before
flushing.
You flush, it goes down.
How does that happen?
Magic.
It happens. It happens. It just disappears. You don't even ask questions. You're like, hey, it's gone.
Natalie, who would you ask a question of? Would you ask the poo?
Where does the poo go? I just wash my hands and I'm done.
You're the best. Call us every day.
We're dealing with the important
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
Guess who's in the next room, you guys?
Eliza?
Yes.
Blanche?
And her little dog, too. I'm certain she'll be joining us coming up right after the top of the hour on K-Rock. First, though, on this Tuesday morning, Allie is here with What's Happening.
Well, what's happening is we have the top five list of the highest paid people in daytime television.
Daytime television.
Isn't it always Judge Judy? Isn't she always the one who makes tens and tens of millions of dollars?
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
She took in $147 million pre-tax between June 2017 and June 2018. That's about more than triple the $47 million she takes in just for her show, Judge Judy.
Wow.
Judge Judy.
That's astonishing.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
I got to tell you, I give it up to Judge Judy, who's been doing that show for a long time. It's not something that I watch regularly.
Not interested, sir.
Let me finish that, Judge. If I ever come across it, it's always entertaining.
Sure.
I
mean, you get Zippo. Nada. Okay.
All right, I'm sorry.
Don't you tune into that show just to see her yell at dumb people,
though?
Sure. Of course.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
And you can't believe how dumb the things are that people bring into that courtroom to litigate. I mean, I would be embarrassed to explain some of those situations to Judge Judy because I know she's going to yell at me.
I just remember doing the story like a year ago when she was up for contract renegotiations. And the story said that she goes to dinner, and at the time, I believe it was with Les Moonves. Mm-hmm. And they eat dinner, everything's fine. Then at the end of the meal, she just passes him a piece of paper with what she wants. He looks at it, and he's like, all right, Judy. And that's the end of the meal.
That's quite a negotiation.
What Judy wants, Judy gets. Yep. I just think that's fascinating. All right, yeah, she is easily number one. Who else in the top five?
Daytime TV.
Well, there's no more Ellen. Oprah anymore. Oh, Ellen's a great guest.
Kevin coming in at number two with a paltry $87.5 million.
Why does she even bother?
Right? Why even get out of bed?
How about Phil?
Dr. Phil came in third. He makes about $77.5
million
across all of his Dr. Phil talk shows and some executive producing credits.
Elvira.
Mistress of the Dark. No, she's just out of the top five.
Dr.
Peebo Bryson.
Peebo, no. Mm-mm.
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, not in the top five.
Anyone on the Chew? Did you guys know that was
canceled.
On?
Oh, okay. It just recently was canceled. How funny. No one from The Chew.
Mm. Yeah, I think there are too many people on those shows like The View and The Chew and mm-hmm. The Talk to be on this list of the top.
Oh, that's right. True. Yeah.
Who else has a daytime show, by the way?
Maybe think of someone that is new to the daytime game that sits with a woman named Kelly Ripa.
Oh, Ryan Seacrest.
Ryan Seacrest. He came in at fourth with about $74 million.
I appreciate your little hint, by the way.
Did you like that?
Yeah, that was... It was really left a lot for us to figure out.
Okay.
He also does On Air with Ryan. Not sure if you know him.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Heard of him.
Count
All right.
Smokula.
Count Smokula, no. But, oh, I'd pay him everything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His name, Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean, no.
So we have four out of five?
You sure do. It's impressive.
Ed O'Neill.
Andy from Bravo.
Daytime, sorry.
Not Andy from Bravo or Ed O'Neill.
Be real.
What daytime TV do you think Ed O'Neill does, though, out of curiosity?
I realized that after I said Ed O'Neill's name.
Okay.
I said, oh, daytime.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Boy, I'm
NoHo Hank? Not NoHo Hank, but I would give him a show. Drake? Not Drake. Mm-mm.
Ted Parrot Man.
It's Ted Parrot Man.
Lin-Manuel, what's his name?
That's a good one.
It's Kelly Goddamn Kapowski.
Nope.
Bobo.
Oh, not Bobo.
Chaka Khan.
No.
Senor Grande.
Mm-mm.
The Colombian Tongue Monster.
Well, they might call him that.
Oh.
D's Nuts. It is D's Nuts.
Wow. D's
yes.
Nuts.
How much? Yes. All right, the answer is Steve Harvey.
He
earned about $44 million.
We
aren't stupid.
We're
you guys.
Dumb. We're just racist. I don't think we're racist either.
Well, I mean, to me, the reason we forgot that one, I mean.
You did guess all the white people. You
know, we certainly were ready with white people guesses, weren't
sure
we?
Sure were. God, it's disgusting.
Steve Harvey, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Was that a dog
it
in
was.
The background? Okay.
Dog's been snoring all morning, by the way. Driving
really?
Me crazy.
I haven't heard it. Oh, that's amazing.
There's no reason to bring it up.
Guys, remember back in the day when Axl Rose would be like, I don't feel like performing?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Or if he came out and people weren't cheering enough, he'd be like, I'm out. You guys don't appreciate me.
He did a New Year's Eve gig at 4 a.m. He showed up at 4 a.m.
Exactly. Yeah. Times have changed, you guys. Axl Rose, I don't know what's going on, but he's all about... His art, essentially. And
well, he's been showing up, and we're stunned because when they announced this reunion Guns N' Roses tour with him and Slash, we said, buy tickets for the first week because it's going to blow up after that, and they'll break up again. But it's stunned. They've been going around the world for like 2 years now.
Since April of 2016, you guys.
Yeah, and apparently.
And Duff McKagan's on the tour, too. So
you're
essentially seeing Guns N' Roses up there. And not only is he playing... They're doing a lot of songs, you guys. Even on Sunday night in Abu Dhabi, when a severely ill Axl Rose powered through 20 songs of the group's usual 28-song set.
Wow.
What? So he announced to the crowd, I've been throwing up for the last 5 hours, so instead of canceling, I'm going to do the best show we can for you. He did 20 songs. Do you know after you throw up how awful you feel? You have no energy.
Sometimes you feel great, though. Sometimes you do. Sometimes like, yes.
But not,
now I'm better.
But a stomach bug? No.
Yeah, no, though. That does take a long time. No, I can't imagine being on stage worried about throwing up every second.
Yes. So he just, you know, he didn't do 28 songs, but he did 20. That's phenomenal.
You're right. That is a very different Axl Rose.
You got your money's worth if you went to that show.
I'm really impressed with Axl Rose right now, you guys.
Right?
Good story.
Right.
Some birthdays for you. Bill Nye, Jaleel White, Michael Vartan, and Charlton Copley. And
look who's back, you guys. One of our favorites is Eliza.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me.
That's a golf clap. I believe Eliza deserves more than that.
I like them both. Okay. There's only so many people in this room.
Yeah, there's only like four people
and
clapping.
And they were clapping at maximum ability. So
you're the best we could. How you been?
I'm great.
How's it?
Oh, my God. Oh, Thank you. Thank you so much.
That's after every answer, by the way.
You know what? I need that. I need that acknowledgement. Thank you. I get it.
How's little Blanche?
She's amazing. She's right here. That's who I thought you were introducing. She's just kind of staring.
I mean, you take her every place, right?
You can fly with her with no problems, right?
That's what I was going to ask. Is emotional support dog?
Yeah, how does that...
I'm going to get hate mail for this one.
Well, they're kind of cracking down now.
They really are, but we do. Here's the thing. If you give me BS parameters in which to work, I will follow your rules.
Okay.
And so, there, you know, certain airlines have certain... You have to get this signed by this doctor and this. So I do. We do all of it.
Okay.
The paperwork is sound. The whole system is broken. You should be able to bring your dog, and that should be that.
Have you ever had a problem? Blanche seems very well behaved.
Blanche is well behaved.
It should be a dog by dog basis.
Yes, because like some dogs people don't even pay attention to.
Well, that's who ruins it.
Yeah,
and then you get like, my emotional support chicken. It's like, all right, you're lying just like the rest of us, but it's a chicken.
It's a worse lie.
Like humans, we should judge case by case. Your dog should audition. You know, my
audition.
Also, I should have, by the I've flown so much with her. The airline should have her on file right. as, oh, we've done this.
Oh, is Blanche here?
She's legit.
Yeah, but they don't. Every single time you fly, they're like, we have to have the support desk call. And I'm like, so you have hundreds of thousands of my dollars, but no way of knowing that I've ever flown with an animal.
There's got to be
technology.
A database, like a way they can do that.
I feel like they don't care. They're like, good luck.
I feel like you're probably right. They don't care.
I've also definitely, in my early days, I just took her on a plane. Because she's in a little bag. No one knows she's there. She's so quiet. And that's it. She doesn't bother anyone.
That's the key right
there.
That
is the key.
Your dog is small enough. But then you see the stories of bigger dogs that have, you know, bitten other passengers on a plane. And they're the ones who ruin it for everybody.
It's true. And, you know, but then they don't see it that way. They're like, well, that person provoked me. So the answer is everything's on fire all the time. Everyone is wrong. Everything is bad. If you try to do something good, the internet will rip you to pieces. That's all true.
And on that note,
come see me this weekend. Come hear more.
I do want to, we're going to talk about your big events because you have something on Wednesday and something on Thursday. But before we get there, can we please instant family it up in here,
yay!
Eliza?
Where's my claps? Now we need the big applause,
Kevin. There it is. I could not believe when I saw the clip of you in this this Roseburn Mark Wahlberg big hit Hollywood movie.
It's a Roseburn Mark Wahlberg Eliza Schlesinger movie.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's how it's billed.
Right.
I like Photoshop myself into all the posters. I'm like, come see our movie. It's this big, you know, studio movie. It's called Instant Family. I was so excited to get the part, and it's just what we need right now. It's heartwarming. It's fun. It's loving. It kind of takes the stigma out of the whole conversation about adoption or fostering. It's a true story.
My friend Greg saw it and said, I was shocked at how emotional I got.
Yeah.
He sobbed during that movie.
It's rooted in truth. Sean Anders, who wrote it, he also did Daddy's Home. It's his true story about him adopting his three children, who were like children, not babies.
Yeah. Right.
And it's actually interesting. You know, I made that movie not really thinking I had any connection to the adoption world. And it turned out my cousin works for the city and she works in foster care. My best friend and her wife, they are trying to foster children. And,
a guy that doesn't know anything about his friends.
I'm that guy.
Girl, you were saying you. I thought you were saying the guy that wrote it.
Oh, no. Okay. I realized that I do, like, I'm not adopting or fostering children, but you don't realize that you do know someone mm-hmm. who is attached to that world. And the people that do adopt these children have such big hearts. I met so many families. They're like, yeah, we have three kids of our own, but we decided to foster 12 kids.
Yeah,
and we just love them. And you're like, wow.
I got to tell you, we do a charity for abused women and children, and everybody wants to buy gifts for little babies. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to buy gifts for a teenager.
Right, because babies can't return them and say they don't like them.
Nobody wants age 7 through... I wonder what it's like in foster care, if that's the same.
Does my mic sound weird to anyone else? Did it just go weird? Movie. Hell, like, nobody wants a teenager.
Yeah.
And they have that discussion. But it's heartwarming. It's fun. And it did really well over the weekend, and I'm really proud to be in that movie.
You should be. Congratulations.
Proud to be 10th on the call sheet. Thank you.
How much, forgive me for not knowing this, Eliza, but it'll prove I'm not a stalker because I don't know it.
How much
acting have you done?
Not a lot. This doesn't sound weird.
How did you get this?
Right here.
Does that sound weird to you?
It did sound weird. No, I'll just be like this.
Okay.
You know, It's one of those weird answers because it's not for lack of trying. Like, every movie you've seen, like, I have probably read for it. I have read for most sitcoms, TV shows, cartoons. Like, it's always, it's a game of, it's about statistics. Like, if you keep trying, eventually you get one. So,
sure.
And, you know, you lose out. And you lose out for reasons you can't control. They're like, well, we went Asian. I'm like, okay, I can't fix that. No, maybe. I mean,
I went Asian years ago, by the way.
Right. And so, oh, or we went with a boy, and it's like, okay. So
I went boys years ago, by the way.
All right. All right. So then I did this movie. I auditioned for it. They liked it. And that begat the other part that I got. I'm doing a movie right now called Wonderland, also with Mark Wahlberg. So weird.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's like a much bigger part. And
I don't think
that.
I knew that about you, that you're trying out for every single movie.
You've never brought that up in all the times you've been in.
Nobody wants to hear about how much you failed. Nobody wants, you know, or it's LA, everybody's auditioning all the time.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And, you know, you go up for things, but nobody wants to bring up, like, yeah, I read for that movie. I read for Marvelous Miss Maisel. I read for Game Night. I read for, like, all these things that have come out. You know, nobody wants to talk about.
Well, stop reading for things that Mark Wahlberg's not in.
That's the key. Apparently, we're star-crossed actors.
Now, yeah. Eliza, I'm really, really interested in this, and I promise we'll get to your plugs. But I have to ask, you're at the top of your game in comedy, and don't be modest and say you're not. I mean, obviously, you've got all these, you know, of your own specials. You're a one-name comedian. You couldn't be any more successful as a comedian. Do you have the same passion for? Do you have the same passion for acting that you have for comedy?
I don't know. I don't know because I think there's. I'm not an actor. Like, I'm not a thespian. I did not go to... Thank you. Thank you. You know, that takes... Are you sure this is on?
It's on.
Yes, it sounds
it's
perfect,
my headphones.
By the way.
Your headphones?
It's just the headphones.
Okay.
You know,
we've checked it in the room
it's
and
the
out
dedication.
Of the room. It sounds perfect.
Some people, like, spend their whole lives and to this craft. I've spent my life dedicated myself to the craft of stand-up, and I have taken... You know, steps toward acting, but it's hard to like run full speed ahead at acting when it's not paying you back.
Sure.
Like, you know, and it's not. So stand up's where I put my efforts, and that's paying off. But I do enjoy the idea of playing villains. I do enjoy the idea of playing these fun characters, but I have no desire to do like Shakespeare in the Park.
Right.
You know,
but you have to be so encouraged when you see somebody.
It's its own animal and it deserves its own. You know, I think everybody fancies themselves an actor, but it does require work.
Sure. And when you see somebody like Mike Birbiglia, can she not hear me? Is her headphones are
dead? I don't think her headphones are working.
Okay, I got it. It was the volume. I hit it with my knee.
Oh.
Acting. This whole time, Eliza.
I was pretending I couldn't hear.
I was saying it must be gratifying for you to see somebody like Mike Birbiglia, great stand-up comedian, who has successfully made that transition and is just doing wonderful work in TV and movies.
Oh,
right
I love it. I love seeing other people just skyrocket past me. It's so gratifying. No, you know, what it is, it's doing stand-up creates a path, and then people want to listen to you, and then you can, from there, I can produce things, I can act in things, and we're living in a time now where there's no real set path to anything. You don't have to get in like a studio system. Like, you can kind of create your own existence. You can make millions of dollars and be a celebrity, and no one's ever heard
but
of you.
Do people put you in one corner, which is you do? Oh, that's the girl that does comedy. She's great at comedy.
I don't think so. Just because I've gotten a lot of auditions for serious stuff. I think people like it when comedians are more serious. That's easy to tap into.
Yeah.
And so I haven't really been pigeonholed yet.
I feel like you're tough, and they know you can cut a bitch, so there's a lot of roles you can play.
Well, it's funny. Because of that, I go up for these parts that a lot of time where... Like, they end up casting, like, some butch chick. And I'm like, I was never that. So I'm, like, just tough enough that I'm tougher than the other girls that look like sorority girls. But I'm not as tough as, like, Large Marge, the bar owner. So I live in this, like, weird space of, like, too tough for my blonde hair, but not tough enough to cut a bee. What is that? I hate that now.
Okay, you hate it. Okay.
Eliza is here. A quick break, and then we'll tell you all about how you can get up close and personal with her with a big event Wednesday night at the Grove, and then you're doing two shows at the Ace Hotel on Thursday night. We'll give you all the details and talk more with Eliza right after this on K-Rock. Do yourself a favor. If you're sitting around one night and you're looking for something on Netflix that's hilarious, Eliza's latest special is called Elder Millennial. It's great. You were in to promote that, as a matter of fact, over the summer, Eliza?
I was. I feel like just yesterday.
And you can see her in theaters right now in the new Mark Wahlberg movie,
with Rose Byrne called Instant Family as well. All right, let's talk about this week because you're doing two cool events. One is going to be tomorrow night, a conversation with you and your friend Rebecca at the Grove. What's this all about?
Rebecca Searle is, she created Famous in Love. It was a show on Freeform. It had Bella Thorne and the kids loved it. And she is a writer, young adult novels, and she has a book out called The Dinner List. And my book, Girl Logic, is now in its second life on paperback. It made it to paperback. So we, you know, we're friends and we decided to get together and do a discussion about our books, process things like that. So it's a live event. You can come see us at the Grove. We asked if we could bring alcohol. They said no. So we have candy. And that is tomorrow at 7? So it's at the Grove.
Is that weird
it's
for
a seven,
you?
Yeah.
It's at 7.
You're friends with somebody and you talk to them all the time anyway, and then you're going to go up on stage and have a fake public conversation, I mean, essentially?
It is weird, but I did read her book, and I do have questions.
Okay.
And I think it's kind of fun to get to artist talk versus just, like, what we normally do is just crap on people we don't like.
Right.
Can't do that publicly, so. And I think people enjoy it. It's also nice to show, like, look, two women that do something similar are friends, and it's genuine.
Yeah.
I don't wish ill on her.
And it is a wristband event, by the way, so you can go to Barnes & Noble starting at 10 o'clock tomorrow if you want to get the wristband for the event that is going to be 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And then you'll be at the theater at the Ace Hotel with two shows this week on Thursday night. Friday's already sold out. But you do have Thursday night available, 8 p.m. Go to eliza.com or axs.com.
Have you played there before? I've not played the Ace.
It's so beautiful.
It is. I saw the kids in the hall there a couple years ago. So that was cool. And that's a great hotel. I was so excited to do the... I was so excited to sell out the first one. And then so we added the second one. Mm-hmm. And I think there's only like 300 tickets left. So that's my way of like bragging, but also being like, get on
humble
it.
Humble brag and, buy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. L.A. Eric, come from Downey. Whatever you got to do. Like, get in there, buy the tickets. And then on Saturday night, I'm off to Australia for a tour for like 10 days. And I just got back from the UK from a tour. So if you have any good under eye patch suggestions, ladies, tweet them or drop them at my office.
Wow.
Yeah.
Eliza, are there any comedians that you go out to see at night?
No.
I would imagine that would be the answer for all comedians.
The answer is I'm not going out to see them. There are comics that if I'm in the room, like if I'm at the Comedy Store and they're up after me, I'll stay and watch a little. Typically, I do my spot. I go home because that's just how I am.
But you never pay, like if Jerry Seinfeld were coming to town, you wouldn't pay to go see him or get on a list to go see him just because he's Jerry Seinfeld.
You know, my manager gave me for my birthday tickets to see Paula Poundstone because she was one of the original ones for me. If I were, I would probably never pay as much as just get the tickets, kind of like you suggested. But, you know, if Jerry Seinfeld popped into the main room at the Comedy Store, I would definitely stay for that. I've stayed to watch Kevin Hart. Obviously, Dave Chappelle comes in a lot, so I've seen him. I'm a big fan of Sebastian. He's, I think, super funny. And so, you know, it's some of your friends you watch, some people that you guys don't know, you know. So it's that. I'm really afraid of accidentally stealing. I think some comics do it.
I can imagine that.
You know, and I also like to stay head down in my own lane. And it doesn't matter what other people are doing. I want my thoughts to be genuine. And if there's crossover, at least I can die clean knowing that I didn't steal a joke. So that has to be.
I mean, that can kill a comic's reputation faster than anything if you knowingly lift a joke. Right?
I think people accuse people of that all the time, and it doesn't actually matter. No one's career that's famous has actually ended from stealing. I think we all know people that get accused of that. But I think when you're really good friends with someone, you know, you start to talk alike. Like me, my friend Jody is also a comic, and I've definitely been on stage and I've said like something, like just a small show. And like I just all the blood drains from my face, and I've walked off stage and been like, "I said your thing about dogs. I said your line. I'm sorry." And you know, it's okay. Like it's a mistake that happens with close friends, especially when
I can
you're
imagine,
talking
yeah.
a lot. But no, there's no. I'm not being sued by her yet.
So. What are you going to do when you're not working in Australia? Have you mapped it out? Because that's a place that everyone I know is dying to go because there's so many cool things to see and do.
When I'm not working, I will be on a plane getting to the next place where I have to work.
Okay.
I've got some friends there. And I've already lined it up. I'm like, I want to eat all the Southeast Asian food. I just want to eat and sleep. So, I mean, you see the Sydney Opera House, the Outback. I want to see a quokka. What are they called? Those little animals.
Koala bear.
Quokka. No. What if that was the answer and I just couldn't remember? No, they're like tinier than koala bears.
Oh.
Yeah, the quokkas, right? Quokka?
I don't know the quokkas.
It's everyone driving right now, take out your phones.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Have the passenger next to you.
There you go.
You know, I feel like it's really hard to say you've been to a city unless you, like, eat and drink there. Because if you walk around during the day, it's like, I got coffee in Melbourne, you know? Like, a big part of it is eating and just kind of getting lost. So I'm there. My friends are Australian. They're going to take me around.
Oh, fine.
I love being the tourist.
Do you do that in every city you go to?
Yes. I was just in Scotland, and my legs were throbbing at the end of the day because I walked. I did the castle. There's so many castles.
Yeah.
You know, but you're in the UK. By day four, you're like, it's enough with the castles. We get it. You guys are weird about that. I like to go and see everything so I can have context for the people.
So you do it for your craft, though, or you would do it anyway?
I do it because I'm an inquisitive person. I probably would do it anyway.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear, like, hey, when Queen Mary was given birth at the end of the Stuart dynasty. Like, nobody. But I go to the museums and, you know, you want to say that you understand a little bit about the place, not I went to a Starbucks in Glasgow, you know?
Well, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time. The event on Wednesday night is at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Again, wristband starting at 10 a.m. to see that with your good friend Rebecca Searle talking about each other's books and lives. And then still some tickets available for the Ace Hotel this Thursday night. Eliza.com, AXS.com.
Yes,
before you go.
I just want to make sure, yes.
About the quokkas.
That you do not go to Rottnest Island.
That's where they live.
That's where they live.
Don't go there.
You will be slapped with a $300 fine if you try to touch them.
No, I can afford it. I'm touching them.
All right. All right. Good. Get ready.
Before you go, Eliza, we have 60 seconds with Eliza. Kevin is going to rapid fire questions at you. You just answer with the first thing that comes to your mind. You ready?
I'm ready.
Let's do it.
What is your least favorite Christmas song?
Oh.
Silver bells.
It's creepy.
Dog kisses on the mouth, yes or hell yes?
Dog kisses deep in the mouth, right on the gums, hell yes.
We have a lot of people who say no and are really upset about
it. Yeah, I get mad at them.
Question.
Deep tongue.
What's the funniest movie of all time?
Oh, okay, I'll say Caddyshack so boys like me.
Do you have a secret talent?
I can sing in a hamster voice in a perfect register. Rolling in the deep.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
Oh, don't eat that.
When a jury duty summons comes to your house, what do you do?
I absolutely sign up. It is your civic duty to pay taxes and be part of a jury. It is the price you pay for living in a great country.
Dean has a boner.
I love this woman.
You must go.
How early is too early to start decorating for Christmas? Are you a before or after Thanksgiving person?
You got to go after Thanksgiving. Because you got to give Thanksgiving its due. Did I get all of them right?
there's no right or wrong.
It was a perfect score, Eliza.
Thanksgiving at midnight. But beyond that, it's harvest season. You can't get into it. So
sure.
Before that.
I know the answer for Kevin, and it's Rage Against the Machine. But let me ask Jensen and Allie, who is the band that you were most broken up about when they broke up? That destroyed your heart that they broke up and you were so sad because they were so great and you can't believe they didn't stay together.
I have a second place one, but go ahead. Allie?
Maybe Oasis.
Oasis is at the top of a lot of people's list. That was a tough one.
Because it's a twofer. You love their music and then they're brothers and they hate each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Oasis is a good one.
My rap answer is Third Base. Okay. It was a group from the 80s and early 90s that did Pop Goes the Weasel.
Goes the Weasel Goes Pop?
That one. That was a tough one for me.
Okay. And before you move on, was there a chance at some point that they might get back together, but they never did? Like, they never reformed or
absolutely.
Anything?
Absolutely. They did the Bad Woodstock, and then they,
we were at the Bad Woodstock, and it was horrible.
I know. And then a couple of years ago, they did a show in Brooklyn, it was like a club show, and then there were rumors they're going to do more, and they didn't. Uh-huh. But I've never seen them live, so that's rough for me.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not really a breakup, but the Nirvana one hit me the hardest, that they wouldn't have any new music from that.
Yeah,
show.
Sure. Yeah.
That those are my two.
Okay.
Yeah, that's legit. Well, I have there are a few in my lifetime. Led Zeppelin would be one.
Mm-hmm.
That was devastating to me because I felt like they could have gotten another drummer, but the rest of the guys in the band, they said, it's not Led Zeppelin without John Bonham, and we're not going on. It's the four of us, and that's the magic, right? And I have to respect that decision, but that one hurt me a lot. And ABBA was another one.
Mm-hmm.
ABBA hurt me.
Okay.
Because they were so great.
Right.
Now I have a third to add to the list, you guys.
No.
And we are listening to Witch Rot right now.
I thought you were summoning a spirit.
Right? We're listening to Witch Rot right now. And I didn't know about him until about 15 minutes ago.
But now you're broken up.
And I am devastated.
Right.
Beyond words.
Yeah.
Witch Rot is a band out of Toronto. Chip, I can tell you're already loving them.
I was hoping for Hate Beak, but I'm in on this.
Yeah, this is very Hate Beak-like. This is their song on SoundCloud called Druid Smoke Part 1.
Oh.
Oh. They've broken up, you guys. There's no more witch rot, and I'm going to tell you why after we enjoy a little of the singing that goes along with this beautiful music. Again, ladies and gentlemen, you are enjoying Witch Rot on K-Rock.
Are we enjoying it?
Yes, yes we are.
Okay.
Wait till you hear why they broke up. Here we go. This may be the last thing they ever do, you guys.
Is it because they didn't know how to mix their songs?
I mean, the production is great.
Is she in a tunnel?
What the hell?
I don't know.
She's in the same city.
We can't get the singer any louder? All right, let's break up.
By the way, on SoundCloud, they also have Druid Smoke Part 2.
Sure.
Oh,
they have Devil's nice. Dirt.
Oh, Devil's Dirt's my favorite.
And Crypt Reaper. Crypt Reaper.
Oh. Crypt Reaper. That was my dad's high school nickname.
By the way, Crypt Reaper is 11 minutes and 19 seconds.
Just the perfect amount of time.
So here's what happened to Witch Rot, and this was their fan must have taken this very hard when this was announced on Facebook.
The Witch Rot heads.
The Witch Rot heads, right. Due to the unfortunate reality of our guitarist effing my girlfriend of almost 7 years.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Witch Rot will be taking an extended hiatus. I, however, will continue the band in another space and time, being ripe with hate. The music is slowly flowing and without a doubt will become the most devastating, torturous music I have ever created.
Well, again?
Because that was way too cheery.
Right?
Right. They're going to get heavy on the next record, you guys.
Right, sure.
Thanks for the support. Stay heavy, Peter. Also, our drummer died.
Wait, what? What? P.S.?
Yes.
What?
Yes. See, but there should be more than an also leading up to that part.
That is. Or buried the drummer.
That's the second reason why they're breaking up. You know, we might have stayed together with the drummer gone, but this thing with my girlfriend, that will not stand. Now Witch Rot is over, you guys.
It's almost like he forgot about the drummer dying until just at the end.
So
he was
mad.
Like, oh, by the way, also our drummer.
Witch Rot's most popular performance on YouTube is at the Bovine Sex Club in Toronto. Imagine being in a sex club and Witch Rot playing.
And it's called the Bovine. Yeah.
And Witch Rot, Peter from the band, who I assume is the leader of the band, I guess. The photo that goes along with it is apparently he has smashed his guitar into a million pieces. And it's in a sad dumpster almost covered by snow. So he's having a rough week there at Witch Rot. And not as bad as the drummer is.
Right, sure.
But so along with Rage Against the Machine and Nirvana and Oasis, we have to add Witch Rot to the list. I'm sorry to say. A great band that may never perform together again.
There's going
to
be a gaping hole in K-Rock's absolute almost acoustic Christmas night two.
They were going to be the surprise guests.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you could never say gaping hole again.
Right, I would appreciate that
again,
as well.
My dad's other high school nickname.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier. When the morning comes, you want to have some fun. But when you turn on the mic, we can hear you and you sound so stupid and so dumb.
How are you, boy?
Every moment with, would you like to take that back? Cause you talk for a living and I can't believe they let you broadcast on air.
Might have said that's a toss-up.
You talk for a living. I cannot believe that you guys get paid to do this.
Sorry, I have to swallow.
You guys are freaking idiots.
I'm just a dumbass.
This is a tribute to.
Why?
Tribute to Kevin and Bean.
Tickets on sale Friday, 10 at noon. Friday, 10 at noon? Why would I say that?
Nope.
Very talented actor Dylan McDermott here on the K-Rock Morning Show. That's us, right, Kevin?
I don't think we've ever called it that.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Still
Afro with an H?
They had to do that emergency thing where they, whatever it is, they put on you to bring your breath back or whatever. It's probably not the best description.
And then to get that response, just pours fire on the you know, gasoline, whatever. However that one works.
Agreed.
However that works.
1-800-520-1067. That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. We have your calls on the air.
What? No.
Is that not right? 323-520-AFRO.
There you go.
Yep.
That's the number for the Kevin and Bean Afro line. Jesus.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You are listening to... Oh, you already said that part.
Yep.
Hey, Dr. Drew was on the phone, you guys.
I said that part like 12 seconds ago.
You guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Now, I know that's a tenuous... What's the word I'm looking for after tenuous? Anyone? Just being quiet on purpose, because that's the rule. I know that's a weak example, is what I'm trying to say.
Would it be a connection? A
connection.
Connection? Could that be it?
Thank you, Bean. Connection is the word I could not think of.
Lately, I've been thinking, you guys sound so much crappier. You guys sound so much crappier.
Wow, this is something.
The only thing I can think is... Mistaken door. They
mistaken
thought
mistaken doorbell
to...
identity.
No, I was thinking. I'm not sure how to say it, but they meant to go to somebody else's house, got the wrong apartment or condo or house number, whatever you have.
How about wrong address? Like that?
That would have been a more succinct way to say it.
Yeah, you guys are real. You're real. What's the word I'm looking for? Discerning. You're really discerning.
Woo! Andrew Siciliano on the line. Andrew Siciliano, I should say, more pronounced the better.
Huh?
What? You're right.
More pronounced better.
Oh, you blow. You blow. You blow. Blow, blow.
That's the secret success. Secret to the success of that show.
Well said.
How are we... still on the air
and on in the Hall of Fame.
I mean, they're going to take that back.
When Omar did that, he said he pulled all the stuff from after the Hall of Fame induction. That is the last 3 years.
Guys, they got to put us down. They just right? They have to. If there's any dignity left in the world,
do the humane thing.
Yes, put us out of our listeners' misery.
So good.
That's what I'm saying.
So good.
Defined right. So good.
Did you hear it?
I did, yeah. Let's make some new magic radio memories right now, shall we? Ali is here. It's time for What's Happening on this Tuesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, 8:54.
Well, I want to give something away because we all love Jim Jefferies, one of the funniest people on earth. How would you like a pair of tickets to see Jim Jefferies, the Night Talker Tour? It's all going down right at the theater at Ace Hotel on April 5th, 2019. Why don't we give you tickets if you are caller 10 right now at 1-800-520-1067, and you are going to get tickets to see him at the theater at Ace Hotel April 5th, 2019. Tickets are available at AXS.com.
Call now.
Go ahead.
Call now.
Call now. It's true. You guys know what Movember is, right?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. It's the organization.
It's a month where you celebrate Mo Vaughn, former Boston Red Sox and terrible Anaheim Angel.
I love that you just said that. I saw him get in the biggest fight in Boston at a club. Like, chairs were thrown, everything.
Sweet.
It was magic. That guy has quite the figure.
He was like the test missile for Big Papa.
Yes.
Ortiz. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he is just a rotund dude.
Yeah.
Stay on target.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
You both played it at the same time.
I hit it about an eighth of a second after Bean, so I
all
stopped.
Right. Well, Movember is the organization. It started out. They were raising awareness for prostate cancer, and now it's turned into mental health, suicide prevention, everything. And you grow a mustache during the month of November, because if you've never had a mustache before and all of a sudden you have a mustache, people are like, what's with a mustache? And then it starts the whole conversation. It's just a brilliant, brilliant thing. But here's the thing. Here's why I bring it up. Because two of my favorite people on the planet... Sean C. Reilly and Will Ferrell decided to have a little conversation about Movember.
Okay.
Where they turned to a book labeled Mustache Facts. So they want to give us some little known tidbits about that little bit of hair that you grow above your lip.
You do have a Movember mustache, don't you? I mean, what kind of idiot doesn't have a mustache?
Seriously, fellas, ladies.
Especially ladies.
It's 2018. Everyone has to grow a mustache.
I grew one, and I found out that I could play the French horn.
It's time for
mustache facts.
Oh, here's a good one. It's twister season, so storm chasers take heed. Holding on to your own mustache can prevent you from getting blown away.
And since your mustache is technically your face's passenger, you also get to drive in the carpool lane with mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Did somebody say meow stash? Cats will interpret your mustache as whiskers and will teach you all the secrets of their species. That's a great one to end on.
Why don't you play us out with a sweet little boogie woogie tune on the old French horn? French horn. That's jazz.
God, I love them so much.
They're great.
Oh, man. I was going to say, how are we not getting more movies from them? And then I remembered they're doing Holmes and Watson. So I respect that, and I love it, and thank you so much. And I understand you don't want a Step Brothers 2. I understand that you leave it as a perfect movie, and I'm okay with it.
Can I tell you some inside stuff real quick?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like 4 years, 5 years ago, I got a call out of nowhere, and it was from a producer or from it was like an agent, and I didn't know who it was, and they said that they were working on a Step Brothers rap album.
and they
wanted me to come in and do some of the writing and stuff, and then
I was
gonna set up a date to go in and everything, and then it just disappeared because they weren't making the movie. Maybe they were like talking about making the movie and then it went away, and then I was like, oh, and they're like, yeah, the project got scrapped.
Oh, that's too bad.
There was going to be a rap album.
Oh, my God.
That would have been great.
That's the best fun fact ever. Sorry, Bean.
I assume it's got to be one of those, like, it was going to be like a tie-in, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Anyway, no one ever told me not to tell anyone, so there you
what
go.
What if you were tasked with teaching Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly how to rap?
Yeah, sounds like a dream.
Although we heard John C. Reilly rap when he was on, I think, the Breakfast Club or something.
Yeah, that's right. I was on with Sway.
Oh, all right.
Sway. All right. Some birthdays for you. How about Jaleel White? By the way, emailer Edwin, friend of the show, really upset at your deep dive yesterday with Tim Allen. He wants to hear any Jaleel White.
Well, we all know. Did I do that?
Right.
And I think that's all we know.
That's it.
Okay.
I mean, Stefan I was a fan of, which was Urkel.
The cool Urkel.
Yeah.
Same guy. It's like when Greg Brady did Johnny Bravo.
Yes.
Same guy.
I was like, did I do that?
Stay on target.
All right.
Stay on target.
All right.
All right. So Movember is when everyone celebrates. Right. Mo Rocca from The Daily Show. He was,
what happened to him?
He's still around.
Okay.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
All right.
Whenever I'd see Mo Rocca, I would think of that, like, not really a peanut
And that's
riddle.
What's happening.
Room has expired.
Somebody has a date on it, and you have to eat it by a certain day.
Facility.
Smell this. Does this smell okay?
Hey, does this room smell weird?
And they stop. Give me a little how does the story end, shall we?
Sure.
How does the story end?
You guys all know Storage Wars, right? That show?
Yep.
How does the story end?
So somebody rents a storage facility, but then for whatever reason, they stop paying the rent on it, and it goes to auction. So people show up on a Saturday morning, and they go, hey, I don't know what's in this storage unit, but I'm willing to put down $300 for it. And then you don't know. You could go in there, it could be packed with antiquities, or it literally could be empty. There could be nothing in the storage unit. You don't know. Well, that's what happened. This is Dan Dotson, who is one of the auctioneers on Storage Wars. And here's the story he told recently.
What are you going to pay us? How much?
Call it a modern-day treasure hunt.
145, sir. 135 there. 145 to ground.
Bidding on abandoned storage units without knowing what's inside. Dan Dotson, an auctioneer on the popular A&E show Storage Wars, recalled on Facebook being at an event earlier this month when a woman approached him.
She says, I want to tell you this story. My husband works for a guy, and he bought a unit from you, and it had a safe in it.
But this wasn't just any safe.
Inside the safe, normally they're empty, but this time it wasn't empty.
Okay, so you feel like you scored if you buy a storage unit and there's a safe in it, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. What was in the safe?
A human head.
It's a great guess.
I like it.
Thank you.
It's a great guess. Kevin, what was in the safe?
Why would you be
He paid $500 for it. What was in the safe?
Gold bars.
Gold bars. Mm-hmm. All right. Jensen.
Well, I mean, I'd say cash because that's what I put in a safe when I
Well, where's your safe? What part of the house is your safe in?
Okay, so I put it in my bedroom. It's in the closet, but under a latch.
Does it ever expire?
let's find out what was in the safe, you guys.
Come on, head.
It had $7.5 million.
$7.5 million in cold, hard cash.
$7.5 million.
Oh, wow.
How does this story
in the safe
end?
Well, we're about to ask that question.
But the story has another twist. Mm. Dotson says the new owners got a call from an attorney representing the safe's original owners.
How about beat it, kid?
Right?
Yeah. Right?
That's up to auction. They can't come back and claim it now.
Yes, that's what I think. Look, they didn't pay the unit fee, and they lost it. And somebody else bought it legally and owns it.
But
right?
But who's they?
Well, this is the thing. And they don't explain who, but let's talk about if somebody is putting $7.5 million in a safe in a U-Haul.
Something's wrong. Very shady.
It is. It's drug cartel or something, right?
Yeah.
Which, by the way, leads me more to believe that the rightful owner should keep the money.
Oh, you mean because it's like illegal and why give it
back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Except I'd be scared and have to like have security around my home.
And then a human head.
Yeah. Well, I forgot about the human head. Yeah. And then I guess if you also, now that I'm thinking about it out loud, if you also keep that money and now other people know about it, maybe that gets on the Fed's radar and maybe they can come in and claim it all it's illegally gotten, right?
But
and
is
you
it
haven't paid taxes on it.
Is it illegally gotten, though?
Yeah, that's my question. Is it was a legal auction.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So whatever's in there doesn't matter where it came from, really.
No, if you buy something that turns out to be stolen, I think people can still take it back from you, even though you didn't know it was stolen.
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, all right, so attorney...
Why don't people just keep their mouth shut?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. What's in the safe?
No idea. Right? No idea. Haven't opened
it. Deodorant's a good guess, though.
Yeah. Gotta go.
Well, because the human head starts to smell
sure.
bad. So all right. So attorney from the previous owners, the people who let the storage unit lapse, they call.
Requesting their money back.
They offered $600,000, then they doubled it to $1.2 million. And I guess they gave him back $6.3 million.
What? Why would you do that?
What?
Yes, they said, hey, $600,000 we'll give you as a finder's fee, essentially. Give us the rest of our money back. And the people who bought it said no. And they said, how about $1.2 million? And they said, okay. So they gave back $6 million.
No.
That's a terrible episode of that show.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
But what if someone just showed up at your house and, like, I'm sure some stuff happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah,
you can't
just threatened or something?
Yeah, you just get a phone call.
Right.
Right.
Like,
hey,
hey,
can we have most of our money back?
Yeah,
you know what? Sure.
Yeah,
sure. And on the phone, they're like, we want to double it to 1.2, and we know your grandma lives in Montebello. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they hit them with one last sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right.
On social media, Dotson asked viewers what they would do. One wrote, I would feel too guilty if I kept it. Another said, if they had that much money, why didn't they pay for the storage unit? For one lucky treasure hunter, the find of a lifetime.
I don't feel good about their decision at all.
No, I don't either.
That reporter's dead now, too.
Human head.
I just feel like they owned it. They owned it legally. So
yeah, that's
a
bad choice.
That's not what I would have done. I mean, I would have used some of that money to get a new identity and leave the country so that the drug cartel couldn't track me down.
For some reason, that's always at the top of Bean's list. I think he might be on the lam.
I mean, if I split a fingernail, I think, how can I leave the country under an assumed name? So anyway, kids, that's how the story ends.
That's how the story ends.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:35.
Ordinarily, I would chit-chat here, but it sounds like we got to get right to Allie's what's happening. Allie, would this qualify as breaking news?
I believe it could be, yeah.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Thank you. Oh, I thought there was going to be a lot.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
I just wanted to wait till you talk again.
All right, got it. So, a few hours ago, a guy named Kyle
Live,
Tomita.
Local, late breaking.
A guy named Kyle Tomita tagged me.
We interrupt this program to bring you breaking news.
On Twitter and said,
ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
This is for what?
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Thank you, Anchorman. He said,
ladies and gentlemen, I'm Larry King, and I apologize for bringing you this startling information this evening, but there is some late-breaking news that I thought I should make you aware of.
He said, you could use this for what's happening.
And now, for another fast-breaking news story, we take you to Kermit the Frog.
Oh, is this where I can
go
talk?
Ahead, Jensen.
Yeah. All right, guys, I have nothing.
All right, I'm okay. Out. It's you now.
All right, so this guy Kyle said you can use this for what's happening. An announcement is expected today at 9 a.m. Pacific. And I'm like, what is this? So I clicked, and it was a tweet from a Coldplay fan site that does news and content history called Coldplay Extra. And they said, according to a legal trademark agreement, the founding members of Los Unidades are Chris Martin, John Buckland, Guy Berryman, and Will Champion.
I'm sorry?
All the dudes from Coldplay. Why would they trademark the name Los Unidades? I don't know. So I patiently waited, and I kept refreshing, and I kept refreshing. Mm-hmm. Well, there is a brand new song that's going to lead off the Global Citizen EP1. It's a new four-track release by a band called Los Unidades. It is called ELO, and it features Pharrell and Jazzy. See if it sounds like anyone you know.
My stomp, my stomp, my stomp, my lovely little stomp. Okay. Amputee.
I don't think that was it.
Okay,
guys.
Sorry. This is the clip.
Right. You're the head, you're on the spear, you're the nail on the cross, you're the fly in my beer, you're the key that got lost.
That's not that one. Maybe it's the next one.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, I'm sorry. Here's the real one.
Balls, 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 balls.
I mean, you sing about what you know.
Right.
Right?
Do you mind if I jump in?
Because
I actually do. I actually do have the real.
Thank you.
This is mumble rap and mumbly. I'm all mumbles in the mumble loop.
Wow.
That's just Beer Mug doing his mumble rap.
Unless this Coldplay song is by Witch Rock.
You're not interested?
I'm not interested.
All right, here's the real. All right, we've been clowning around too much.
All right, a lot of people really like Coldplay,
right.
And it would be
do you
unfair.
Have it, Bean?
I do. I have
Thank
the rules.
God. Okay.
Love you, baby. Love you, baby. Love you, baby.
All right.
What if there's the biggest Coldplay fan sitting in their car, just so angry right
Here
now?
Here it is, then, right, so that you can go into work.
Thank you.
Is that it?
Will you allow me to end this nonsense and actually deliver the real song?
Thank you, Bean. Because
it's time to take it seriously.
I like Los Unidos.
I hate all of you so much.
All right, here's the actual thing. I'm Maria, she'll take my hand. I feel like I'm going to like that against my will.
Your hotel room is ready, Miss McKay.
Oh. I kind of dig it, you guys. So that is going to lead off, like I said, the Global Citizen EP1. That's a new four-track release because this weekend is the Mandela 100 Global Citizen Festival.
Okay.
That Chris Martin, I don't know if you know about this, but in 2015, they announced that he was going to serve as the festival's curator for like the next 20 years or something. So they're like, hey, Chris Martin, here's your festival. Here's what you're going to do. So we have a new band called Los Unidades, which I believe means the unit. So if you think about it, like remember, that's an absolute unit. Do you remember that?
Yes.
What is that, a famous Mandela quote?
It's I believe a meme about a big guy and the queen.
Mm.
Look it up, kids.
Forgive me for asking a question here, because I know you probably gave us all the information you have. But this EP that is coming out, all the songs on it are going to be by Coldplay under this new name?
You've got David Guetta, you've got Stargate, Stormzy, WizKid, Tiwa Savage.
Is this song available today?
I mean, you just played it, didn't you?
Right.
Exclusive!
I think it is. I think it's out today.
Oh, never mind.
That's my understanding.
Not exclusive. Everyone has.
But all the ones before it, definitely Kevin B. Exclusive.
Those are exclusives!
God, you're the And Bean, what? Let's what? Just put this to rest.
Right?
Let me do it.
Love to love of you.
So there you have it, you guys.
That's
new
big
band.
News.
New, yeah. New band, which is just Coldplay.
I am hearing, and this is on the same topic, I'm not deviating, I am hearing fantastic things about the Head Full of Dreams Coldplay documentary available now on Amazon Prime.
Is it because you're in it?
No. People are really, really digging it. And in fact, our producer Dave was just in saying it's so crazy to see them as they look like kids.
Yeah.
And they get this band together.
He's
and
got
there's,
braces in
he
it.
Does,
Chris Martin has braces.
Their struggles, I thought he was looking hot. Their struggles trying to make it, you know, like any other band. They happen to be one of the biggest bands in the world now, but at one time they were just like every other struggling band out there just trying to get a gig. It's apparently it's great.
Although at one time Chris Martin did say about 4 years from now we're going to be the biggest band in the world. And about 4 years from then they were.
Yeah.
Which was bizarre.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Like psychic.
Right.
Right.
I think that was the point.
Oh, got it. Okay. All right. Good stuff. So get that now. Coldplay's new song under the name Los Unidades. You guys, we've got some new December SNL hosts that have been named. Oh, by the way, Bean, you know what this weekend is, right?
For SNL?
Yeah. What is this weekend for SNL?
It's Claire Foy.
Oh, yeah. The queen, yes.
The queen. Kevin, you going to watch that?
No.
Hope she does some queen crap.
She's the girl in the Dragon Tattoo also, though, Kevin.
She certainly is.
Oh, I do love her now.
Yes.
Yeah. And she's Neil Armstrong's wife and first man.
Oh, okay.
All right. Came right around. You see that?
All right.
Impressive.
I like it.
Well, she's going to be on musical guest Anderson .Paak, who I love so much,
guys. That's strong. Yeah.
December 8th. Jason Momoa making his SNL debut, joined by some guys that played in our kitchen. Mumford & Sons, who I believe that's their third, maybe fourth time. Third or fourth, yeah, to be on SNL. So that's the following weekend. Then, December 15th, Matt Damon. If they have time for him, right?
Sure, right.
Sometimes they don't. Matt Damon and musical guest, I believe, will interest one Bean Baxter. Mark Ronson with Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yes. They have a new song together getting ready to come out. I'm very excited.
Is the whole album going to be by Ronson? Is that what the thing is?
Don't know. Huh. Don't know
I think it's Ronson's album.
Oh, it's Ronson's
album.
Yeah,
it is.
It's his album. Yeah.
So he has to do two songs, right?
You would think, yeah.
Yeah.
Wonder who the other one will be.
Oh, that's great. I hope it's Bruno Mars and they do Uptown Funk.
No, that would seem a little dated.
Okay.
Unless it's a wedding. If they have a wedding at the end of the show, it'd be good.
I just wanted to hear Bean's disdain.
He does hate that song.
It's, I mean, it's pop. It seems like Bean would like it.
Mm-mm. He's never had single bone in his body this creative. I'd like to have his creative bone in my body. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
What? Stay on target? Birthdays for you. Chantal Copley, Bill Nye, Julia White, and Michael Vartan. And that's what's happening.
Thank you, Allie, the SoCal Helpful. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We've got Jensen Found It on YouTube. I don't know if you know, but William Shatner has a Christmas album.
Yes.
Yeah, he does.
Introduce you to that. Comedian Jeff Ross will join us. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.